Island.
It's POP Studios back
it's
with another one.
It's funny because she can't hear, so
we just look crazy. Crazy.
We look crazy.
Did you want a headset? I could get you one. Don't even trip.
Oh, yeah. That's in the budget, too,
it's
huh?
In the budget, yeah.
We on budget.
Let's go, Dreams.
Yeah. I'm trying to stuff you like a chicken bake.
Yo. Oh, shit.
Yeah. And I like chocolate cake.
Yeah.
Yeah. I look outside and I look in the grass and there's so many snakes. Yeah. Rattlesnakes.
Damn.
That's what it sound like?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You keep fucking with me, I'm about to catch a charge.
Damn!
Yeah.
Okay.
Underage? The only thing I want out my food is fucking carbs.
Damn!
Oh, yeah.
Shots.
Yeah. And if you listen to my music, take chase, you think I'm a barbs.
Oh. Yeah.
Nicki Minaj, bitch. Period.
Damn!
And all you ugly bitches need to clean your mocos.
And your belly button.
I didn't say that. That was the homie George Orozco.
Damn, you gonna lob it up to him?
I'm sorry. Go ahead, bro. Go ahead. My fault. I'm stepping on your bars right now.
All right, there you go. Just picture me with like an Edgar haircut.
Ooh, cute.
Okay. Yeah.
That's cute.
Bitch, I'm the shit.
Yeah.
Bitch, I'm the shit. Bitch, I'm the shit.
Yeah.
You think you slick? Bitch, I'm the shit.
That's crazy. In front of your girl.
Get back. Yeah, bitch, he's the shit.
I wouldn't do it in front of my girl, but yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. Yeah, you can.
Bitch, I'm the shit.
Yeah.
You ain't even a fart.
Yeah.
These fat bitches look like. What the fuck?
Body positivity.
Let's go, Beto. Please, save us.
That's body
and we're
positive.
Drunk off the White Claws.
Yeah.
I got no other bars.
Nice.
I had one, but I fucking forgot it.
And he sounds like someone that says, go.
Gol!
There it is.
The George Orozco.
Suaves, baby. No bars for Lalo today?
Yeah.
Nope.
Bars for
2 weeks.
Hey, just come in acapella flip.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Go.
And the homie waited an hour and 25 minutes for 3 pizzas.
That's good. That's facts, you did.
Big ass fucking wedding cake and shit.
Hey, they have a customer service line. Just hit them up.
Man, yeah. Fuck them, bro. And fuck that bitch behind the counter.
Yeah.
You ready?
I mean, I'm a fucking loser, boy, Lalo. It's your boy, INFINITEDRE from the AM to the motherfucking Z.
It's your boy, Gazelle, who puts it on your belly because it's kind of smelly. What's up?
Knock, knock. It's your boy, Beto. Yeah, what's up?
There you go. Yo, we got a special guest for y'all today. We got the homie, George Orozco in the motherfucking building. What's up, brother?
Should I be called George or Jorge?
Or Georgie.
George. Hey, you want to know a crazy story?
I love
it. So my government name is Jorge with J-O-R-G-E, but I have it. G-E-O-R-G-E.
Yeah.
You know why I changed it?
Why?
Because I thought I was getting bullied from being named Jorge. For the longest, I swear, bro.
Why did you think that?
Because I don't know. I thought it was something. I didn't know what it was. So I was like, my name. And so I just started saying it.
And then they said kept bullying.
Kept bullying, bro. That didn't work.
Yeah. Fuck, ain't shit changed.
I thought the story about to be long as fuck.
Nah, it's pretty short.
Straight to the point.
Straight to the point.
I get it, though. Like, when you have a fucking dad. Look, low-key, like, I know what you mean, though. Like, you have a... You're Mexican, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Shout out Brown Pride.
okay. Why? If it was Central American, would that change anything?
Like, when you get, like, a fucking... I wasn't going to say nothing about Central Americans. I'm dating a fucking... Guatemalan. Guacamole.
Oh, shout out them.
Shout out there. Shout out everybody out there in Guatemala, man. Y'all are for real, like, killing them more than Mexicans. We're just going to say that.
What the hell?
Whoa.
That's reaching.
Nah, I do get that. I do get that, though, because my nickname growing... Well, my name is Roberto, but my family called me Betito. Mm. So I try to take that to school, you know? Like, call me Betito. And they'd be like, Betito? More like, Pitito.
Damn.
And I was like, fuck that shit. Just call me Roberto, bro. So I was always Roberto.
Well, how's your nickname longer than your real name, though?
Maybe.
No, you know what's fucked up, though? Like, kids are fucking mean.
They're ruthless, bro.
Super mean, bro.
That's facts.
It's crazy.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, though, like, my my dad's name is Ilario, and you know that shit just rolls off the tongue easily for people out here in the States, you know. So they almost named me that shit, Ilario. Imagine, y'all would have been like, "It's your boy Lalo."
It's your boy Hilarious.
I would have been like, "It's your boy Ilario."
You know what's funny about that? My grandpa, he said he didn't name his kids after him, so that their kids can name their kids after that.
Yeah.
So my dad was about to name me Eliodoro.
Eliodoro?
Eliodoro, because that's my grandpa's
name. Eliodoro?
That sounds like a deodorant, bro.
Knock, knock.
Eliodoro. Getting it from the Oxxo and shit. Eliodoro.
So imagine that. I would have been like, knock, knock, it's your boy Eliodoro.
That sounds like the sound like a spring makes.
One more time. What?
Eliodoro? That sounds like...
you had me the first time, bro. And then,
Nah, brother. Well, it's a pleasure to meet you. Thank you for pulling up. I know you guys you came from all the way from North Hollywood, and you know that's a fucking drive.
Fuck, we came all the way to Vegas.
Damn. Nah, bro. If you went to where I stay up the hill.
Oh, you're so,
Hesperia.
Oh, Hesperia.
Yeah. Damn. Shout out H-Town for the 1-1.
Yeah.
Not Houston.
He calls it H-Town. He calls it H-Town.
Yeah, the real one.
Yeah.
Nah, brother, but appreciate you pulling up, man.
Of course.
And obviously, the reason we have you here today is because, you know, we've been seeing what you've been, you know, all you've achieved throughout your career and shit. It's honestly inspiring. And like you said, another Mexican dude doing it and like doing it at a high level. Like, we love to just, you know, talk to like-minded people and just, you know, get to pick their brain for a little bit.
Yeah, of course. I appreciate you guys getting me on. So it's been... Is, you know, I tell my girl all the time, like, podcasts are dope, just to be able to like tell my story. And then I say too, like, podcasts, every podcast is different because, you know, everybody has a different style. Yeah. So like, you know, I always say like everything's it's always different no matter who you go with because everybody has different perspectives.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's facts. And right here, we're super business, bro. Like, we're just,
everything's serious.
Super serious.
Yeah.
So first question is like, how do you feel about the, you know, the political conflict over there in Israel and,
God damn.
I'm kidding, right?
I almost took it serious.
You're about to answer
your ass up, wrap that shit up,
bro. I'm joking, brother. No, but tell us a little bit about your life and, you know, how you got into what you do today.
My name is George, and I'm a director. I've been doing...
Hi, George.
Oh, all right. Sorry.
Very professional.
What's happening to the meeting, bro?
No, but I've been doing this for like... 12-13 years, and I'm originally from Fresno. So, like, not Fresno, but like in that central California area.
Okay.
And then I came down here for film school, and then I just kept going.
What film school did you go to?
The Art Institute.
Oh, okay.
In Santa Monica. It's not there anymore.
So. I wasn't familiar with that.
It's not there anymore. So, I went to film school, and then I kind of like gradually started doing music videos, and then from music videos I got my name out, and then now I'm like getting into sports and like branding and stuff like that, so that's what I'm now where I'm at. So
it's like, funny because like when I say I'm getting into sports, that means like I just started watching baseball, but you say you got into sports and it's like, no, I met Canelo the other day, and it's like casual, you know, like, so it's a little bit different when you say it.
it's a little different. So like, you know, working with like Canelo, Ryan Garcia, and then I just did some stuff for Jaime Murguia. He's actually fighting Canelo. So it's kind of crazy to see because I'm a sports person. So going from like a sports person that watches sports to actually shooting the stuff that people watch is like, it's really cool because like I've always been the one to consume it. Now I'm the one creating the product for people.
Do you ever get starstruck by working with any of these?
From when I first started, I was like, I but I never showed it. I just like kept it inside. I was like, oh, you internal, like, yeah, but like
you did this?
No, yeah, like jumping up in the air and like tapping my feet, like, you know, the more that I started doing it, I realized like in the beginning I was like, I don't know if I should be here. Like I had that imposter syndrome where like I didn't know if they deserved it, right? You know. And then the more I did it, the more people liked what I was doing, and brands were reaching out to me, and certain people were really reaching out to me. It, like, I realized that like I do deserve it, and now it's like, okay, I deserve being here. So it became from being starstruck to like, okay, this is where I belong.
Yeah.
You know? So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. How long did you know? I guess how long before you knew you wanted to get into this like series, like into this field?
I think it started with the stuff that I started doing at school, you know.
Like high school or
no college. Okay. So when I started doing college stuff, like I was there for film school, but like I'll say like maybe like a like 20% or maybe 10% of people that were going to school did something after. Uh-huh. It's that much of a reach to like actually grow out to be someone and have a career in what we're doing.
And directing specifically, or it was like you were starting like videography and then now you're like, nah, fuck.
I called myself a director before I knew what a director actually did.
Oh, crazy.
It was just because that's what I wanted to do. I knew the idea was like, okay, a director creates a vision and then, you know, completes it and then puts it out to the world. Mm-hmm. That's what I wanted to do. And I didn't want to just be someone that hold the camera or someone that like edits a video or whatever. Now I do everything.
Yeah.
But in the beginning, I was like, I want to create ideas and make them come to life.
Yeah.
And part of that was me kind of like creating my own jobs and just doing things out of like nature. And some of the stuff that I was doing was like teaching me how to be a director. And just, I guess naturally I knew how to become a leader, or I knew how to be a leader because I did that in high school and stuff like that. So I knew how to direct people, like to do things for me and being able to be vocal. Mm-hmm. And that taught me that, like, I didn't teach me anything, but I knew that that was part of it. Like you have to maneuver people around.
Yeah.
And then when I got on another set, I figured out what the director was doing. I was doing the exact same thing without any guidance. So it gave me so much more confidence.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So you're looking at that, like I'm doing that already. And
but I was questioning it before that. I was questioning like, oh, am I doing the right things, or is there something that I'm not doing right?
Right.
Or is there something that I'm haven't been taught to do? And then down the road, I got the chance to kind of shadow someone. And then, I was doing the stuff that I naturally knew how to do.
It just validated what you were already doing.
Yeah, exactly. It was like, oh, shit. Like, this is, I'm doing it.
We're like this.
Yeah.
Yeah, but prior to film school, I'm assuming you were inspired by things. Or where did that interest gain from?
So I had like a multimedia class in high school.
Okay.
And like in the beginning of like high school and stuff like that, I didn't know what I wanted to do. I was like, kind of like I had a job shadow for photography, and I want to go do photography with a person in my town. And I'm from a really small town. It's like, I think we graduated with like 98 seniors.
What's it called, bro?
Lindsay, California. It's really
small.
How far
is it from Fresno?
45
minutes?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. So we live like in a small city. Originally, it got created for the packing houses for like citrus and oranges and stuff like that.
Yeah.
People moved there to work at the packing houses. And the people that worked at the packing houses, also people would also pick. So it was like a farmer community.
Oh, shit. So it's a lot more intimate than
yeah, a lot of people know each other. Yeah. A lot of people know each other there.
But not just at the school, like outside.
Yeah, outside of the school. Like you could just walk out to like a gas station and you'll run into like two or three people that you know. It's that small. But my junior year, I ended up taking like a multimedia class, and then I had a job shadow. So I tried the photography thing. I thought that was really cool. I liked media.
Yeah.
So I didn't know what it was, but I liked media. And then I had a worker's permit.
Okay.
With the worker's permit, I went to go work for a screen printing shop.
Oh, okay,
to do clothes. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I liked media. So I would get like photos from like the internet and then Photoshop them and then send them over to like a program to like cut them out to make them into like a sticker. So that like, I was like, I like programs and I like media. So then my senior year came and I ended up getting into the yearbook class.
Okay.
And then I became the photographer. I ended up shooting our senior video.
Oh, shit, cool.
Yeah. And then that kind of like, I was like up to like 4 or 5 in the morning, just like editing. And like, I would borrow my teacher's laptop because I didn't have a laptop at the time to edit like the senior video. And, you know, it became where like I did all these other things and they were cool, but I dropped it. Like it was like cool enough, and then I moved on to the next thing. Mm-hmm. With the video, I think what I liked about it, like every time you shoot a video or every time you edit, it's something new you have to learn. So that's what really interested me, that it's not the same, but it's the same, but it challenges you in different ways, from like shooting the actual video to editing the video. Everything's different. Nothing's always the same.
So. And different styles, I assume.
Yeah,
right?
And it's like different styles, and you know, it became like not boring. Like I didn't get tired of it. So that's how I ended up figuring out.
Did it become clear to you though, like you were the most interested, like the one in your class?
Yeah.
Or were there other people?
Yeah, because I had a free period. I had like a free period right after my class. And I would just tell them, like, I'm gonna stay out with my camera.
Yeah.
Just keep shooting.
Yeah.
So that's how I knew. I was like, I was really like
the one who really loved it. Yeah.
I was just hooked on it.
Yeah, because that's very similar to like art, like how we
We had TV.
We had TV production in our school, which is, I guess, similar, you know? Mm-hmm. And we, bro, I remember like our senior year, I had that fucking class like four. I don't know how they let me get away with this, but I had it for like four periods in a row.
Yeah.
I was just fucking, I literally just went to school to go be in that class all day.
I think you only had it for two periods, bro, but you were there for four periods. You don't even think you were supposed to be in there half the time.
You just go check into a class, like, I'm going to go to the this class and then they'll let you.
No, for sure. Yeah. But what was like, what was life like in like Lindsay?
Bro, it's a cool question because, like, again, it was a small town. Things closed down at 8 p.m. Like, that's, like, when everything closed down. Damn. So, you know, there was a lot of stuff going on, like, with parties and shit like that. Like, all the parties were, like, in the orchards. So, like, people would go into the orchards and have parties in there and shit like
that. Oh, shit.
Just like, who's gonna eat an apple?
But I was, like, at the time, like, I was, like, really invested in football. So I would go to sleep early and then wake up and then go to the gym. And, like, I was, like, I think I was, like, almost 240 in my senior year, but because I was working out and like I was like the middle linebacker in my high school and fullback, and like I wanted to gain weight to be in the right shape.
Yeah.
And so I stayed away from like the partying and shit until like my like the end of my senior year. After football was over, I started like going out with my friends and stuff like that. But yeah, it was just it's a quiet town, man, and like everybody knows everybody. So like if you get in trouble, like the whole school knows within the hour, bro.
Yeah.
But it's just
at any time was football competing with you know, multimedia stuff? Like,
what do you mean? No. Not really, because I took on the multimedia stuff like the second half of the year, and football is the first half.
Months.
Yeah, I didn't have good grades though.
Oh.
I had really bad.
But you weren't like playing football and you're like, yeah, like I want to go further.
Nah.
Yeah, what was the moment?
Oh, you mean with football?
Yeah.
I wanted to play college.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I was going like to Fresno State's camp, stuff like that, but like I just had bad grades.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a moment in the game where you're like, fuck, that fool hit me hard as fuck.
Yeah,
Nah.
I was trying to do it too, but it just wouldn't make the team. That shit. Yeah.
I was good on football. Like I was like the leading tackler, and then like I had like four touchdowns my senior season, but like they were all like I only had like 11 touches.
You think that's fair, bro?
Damn.
Yeah.
Do you think that's fair? Like, people, in order to make it that far in like a specific sport, that you have to have good grades? Or do you think like talent alone should take you that far?
No, because that also tells you what the character is. Because if someone doesn't care about homework or being able to keep your grades, like how are they going to also comprehend how to learn a playbook or learn how to read a defense and do their homework? You got to remember these athletes, after they're done practicing, they're at home watching film and taking notes and figuring out people's tendencies and how they play. Yeah. Every team's different and every team has their special skills, or their best player play in different positions.
Yeah.
So they play differently every week. Same thing in college. So it takes a lot of commitment, and coaches see that. They're like, we need someone that's committed that can do this. Because once you're away from high school or college, all you have to deal with is learning how to play the sport at a higher level.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Did your bad grades ever stop you from playing, like, games?
No, I made sure I had a 2.0 grade that's average.
Right. Hey, overachiever.
Yeah. Priorities, bro.
2.2, baby. Yeah.
Me too.
Nah, but
me too. Not for the team, just because I didn't. Just because, huh? Yeah, yeah. I try to maintain 2.2.
To graduate. Yeah.
D's, they get degrees.
No, it's interesting, though, like, you growing up in a small town like Lindsay. I know you mentioned, I saw a clip on your profile where you're talking about the I know Dreams alluded to it earlier, but about the Canelo thing.
Yeah.
But you mentioned that your father is like, he works in the fields and stuff, and he's like a hard worker.
Yeah.
So I was wondering, like, a lot of your peers at school also, did they also come from like families that were doing the same
thing? Yeah, that's what I was talking about, how Lindsay is like a really small community. Either your families are like, they own land, that farm, or they're farm workers or package, you know, they work at the packing house.
Yeah.
That's like the mixture.
Everybody has like similar backgrounds.
Yeah, they all have similar backgrounds. I mean, there's some like, you know, white people there that own land.
They own it. Yeah, yeah.
They're farming. they're actual farmers. They farm the land and whatever. And then you have like the majority of Hispanics, they're like upkeeping the land, you know? And that's just, I guess that's how it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm not trying to get too like, you know, they're keeping the brown people down. No, it's just like, you know, that's what it is. Yeah. And, you know, us Hispanics, we work hard. Like, my dad works hard. Like, doesn't want to be at the house most of the time.
So, were you helping him, like, at all?
Yeah, I worked with him when I was a kid, but he worked really hard to the point where it was like, yo, if you stay in sports, you don't have to come out and work. Mm, you know, yeah. So I made sure that I played sports every semester from, I think it was football and then soccer and then tennis. He said, just stay in sports, don't do drugs, and don't get into gangs. Yeah. That's all he cares about.
I did all three of those
all
shit.
All the fun stuff.
Who lives his shirt is like 13. Like,
but you know what, though? Me growing up, my parents, like, even, you know, I had like a culture shock with weed when I came to LA because everybody was doing it.
Yeah.
It was normal.
Strong shit, too.
But what I'm saying, I moved out here in 2010. Oh, no, no. Yeah, 2010. And weed was like normal out here. And like, it was still illegal, but people still did it.
Yeah.
In Lindsay, like, weed was like fucking heroin.
Yeah.
Yeah, like it was looked upon. And like, I remember when I had friends in LA that smoked, like, I would just befriend them. Like,
the devil's lettuce.
I can't be your friend. Yeah.
How old were you when you moved down here?
17. Yeah. Damn. I was 17, bro. And I still remember, like, I got sick, like, the first 2 weeks of being out here. And I couldn't even buy, like, NyQuil because I wasn't 18.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
So I was just sick and having to deal with it.
Yeah.
It was crazy. Yeah.
You moved out here by yourself?
Yeah, I came to film school, so I had like school housing and shit, but like, it was definitely like a weird like transition, because like, how, you know, in Lindsay, I'll see everybody and I'll see them the next day or whatever. Over here, like, no matter who you see, you'll never see them again. Yeah. Like, it's so big, like, it's the difference in the culture was like, you could run into someone and you'll never see them again.
Did that shit freak you out though? Like the first year you were out here, like, to the point where you wanted to go back, or were you just like, fuck that, I'm never going back to Lindsay?
I think I just missed my family. I missed being able to like hug my mom or hug my dad. Like, I didn't have a hug, like a real hug. I didn't care about it like that, but like, I didn't have like a hug, especially when I was sick. I remember like, damn, I miss hugging my mom. Like the smallest little things that, like, damn, like I miss that little thing. Like, I was eating fucking Top Ramen and like, I think it was like $3 meals from fucking Ralph's. It was like I missed those little things that my parents provided for me, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck, what did I do?
How did they feel about when you told them that you're going to go into media like this? Like,
they just like, as long as you're working, you know? They didn't understand it. And most Hispanic families don't understand what media is and how powerful it can be and how much gold you can strike from it if you do it the right way.
Yeah.
And you know, my parents always told me, like, you know, come back home. Like, you know how parents want to be, like, just, it's okay if it doesn't work out, just come back home. There's always that one, you know, that last resort is like, just come back home, we'll figure it out.
My mom put a treadmill in my room when I left, bro.
So maybe he doesn't know exactly what you're talking
about.
Don't
worry about it, bro. Yeah, yeah, yeah. My mom made my room into a storage room.
All the cobillas, huh?
All the there's like 10 cases of water from Costco and shit up there.
You don't even put all these Christmas decorations up.
My mom did all that shit. I still live there, bro. I don't give a fuck.
You're sleeping next to the
vehicle. My mom is an avid yard seller. She loves to go to the
house. That's right.
Every Sunday, she's out there, and I'm like, what are you buying? She buys, my room is full of that shit. And I'm like, what do you need this for?
Just other people's shit.
I don't know. To take it to Mexico? I'm like, all right, whatever. Because she goes to Mexico every 6:30 a.m., huh? Bro, early as hell. I'm like, all right.
Me van a ganar.
No, there's sometimes where she be finding shit, though.
Nobody wants that shit.
I'll tell her, like, call me when you find, like, a camera. And just call me. Just FaceTime me. Show me what it is.
That'd be an old retro
shit. Hey, bro, you don't know, but she's on her Gary V shit, bro. She's
right? She's on the hustling, bro. All she's missing is eBay.
Yeah.
Watch your mom call you one day. She just fucking secured an Ari Alexa and shit. You're like, hey, what the
fuck? She's over here selling on Facebook. You know?
And in Face?
The marketplace?
I'm like, what do you sell on my account before? What the fuck?
Wait, so what are the people back at home? Like, do you still have people from back home that, like, what are they up to?
I mean,
do they follow like similar paths like you, or are they up?
I mean, not really. Filmmaking and stuff like that. Like, my nephew, but he's really my brother. He moved out here too. He does film too.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So he does stuff. But like, my friends, like, they all have, like, there's a few of them that moved out of the city of the town and stuff like that. But everybody just has like normal, like, not, you know, just like jobs.
Yeah.
Everybody else. Some people work for dentists, or my sister works at a hospital. There's a lot of hospitals out there and stuff like that. But nothing out of the ordinary, you know.
You're just one of two from your family?
No. How many?
Damn, bro.
My brother.
Damn,
bro. My brother and again? Two sisters.
How old is he again?
My brother and two sisters. So.
Oh, God, bro. You thought about it like I was like, no, they better say 15. No,
fuck that. You better ask your caretaker.
No, I know.
He's like Juanita, Maria. You know.
What's his social?
No.
I'm just wondering. I get a good look at what his childhood was like, you know?
No, I'm making the joke.
You know what, bro? Fuck you, dog. Tired of your shit.
He was making fun of you.
Oh, bro, my father. That's on me, bro. Right, bro. Yeah, that's on me. That's on me.
Remember how he had to ask his girl about how old he was?
Oh, bro, you're levels, dog. Yeah, that's why
it's
you
like
do this.
I'm somewhere.
So right, you're a pro.
Yeah, that's whatever.
Hell yeah.
I really out here just stacking.
So,
I don't know.
Let's fast forward to.
I don't know. I'm confused, too.
The guy who waited an hour and a half.
Hey, blame Costco, G.
Fuck out of here.
Nah, brother. Okay, so you come to film school, right?
Yeah.
What's the first, like, it wasn't until you graduated until, okay, so tell me a little bit about the come up to, like, now working with, like, huge names. Like, what was the first thing that you were, like, ever commissioned to do?
Yeah.
Like, the first big thing? Or?
Yeah. Or no, or the thing that kind of, like, got your foot through the door.
It wasn't really the foot through the door, but it was the first thing to, like, spark me to, like, okay, this is dope. This is, like, something that I like. So I always like music. And the way that I got my camera is use my FAFSA money. So I use
That's right. Throw it away.
No, you know what?
Throw it away.
No, you're right. Yeah. They're like majority of students, first of all, they're not mentally developed enough to know what that could be for you.
Yeah.
So like all my homies like went to the Fox Hill Mall. I'm going to go buy a bunch of clothes and shoes and shit like that, which is cool. But I saw the money and I was working at Best Buy at the time. I was like, fuck, $3,000. I'm like, oh, my man.
Seven.
I remember just knowing like I wanted to buy a camera that was about that same price. So yeah. I was like, fuck, I could actually go get my camera. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to go look and see if there's anything that I need to buy. And I'm like, not really. So I went to go buy that camera. Everybody went to go spend money on like clothes and shit. I just bought the camera. And one of my homies was like, randomly was like, yo, I know you have a camera. Like, you want to come out and shoot a video? So my first video, I shot a video for this artist name, or these artists' name, the So Tatted Boys.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Damn, they still go
on. Tatted?
Yeah, they're all tatted. And this is back in
2011.
He's blasted.
He's blasted.
Show him
the sleeve. No, I don't like to promote gang culture.
Bro, show him the sleeve, bro.
Just show him.
Show him the sleeve.
Fuck. Wu-Tang?
Damn,
okay.
Bro.
All right.
Tatted.
Fucking representing.
Yeah, just like your boys, bro. Shout out there.
No, if you pull up a picture, they're like blasted everywhere. Yeah. Like even in 2011 when it wasn't in.
Just as much, huh?
What are you talking about?
6 hours in the chair.
I feel like you could join the group.
I did mad time doing that.
You know what I'm saying?
I had to make 2 different days for my artist to see me, dog.
Be sure to the one side and the other.
Yeah.
Because you kept crying. He's like, just go home.
It's fucking fainted and shit.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. My bad, bro.
Hey, they're not lying, bro. You got to eat. You got to eat something. You got to have energy.
Oh.
No, but you were saying, sorry.
No, you're good.
We're a little silly. We're a little silly Billy here.
Nah, we're good.
But, yeah, it was a music video, and like, I just, again, that whole, the epiphany of like, oh, this is dope. You could still do this, but like, do something new, because the music changes, but the format is still the same. Right. So, you know, that's how it happened. It was just random. Like, it was just one music video that a dude needed a camera, and I knew how to shoot. And then I just called myself a director after that.
Hell yeah, bro.
They were like, hey, cameraman, can you come by and shoot? It went from a cameraman to a videographer to a director, you know, and it was just because I started creating ideas inside of the video.
Yeah.
So,
go ahead, bro. Go ahead.
No. Actually, it's completely separate questions.
Okay.
If you're gonna run.
Okay. So did the school help you to build connections, and then that's what got you work?
I had a better question.
In the industry.
No,
because I'm wondering. Because like you're doing huge jobs.
Yeah.
So it's like, how did that even come to be? Like, is it because of the people you knew from school?
So that's what it was. It was just literally the people that I knew from school. It wasn't like, oh, come to the Art Institute and we're going to give you connections to Sony and Paramount Studios. It's not like that. They'll give you damn tours to these places, but you can do that yourself by paying for a tour.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Instead of paying the fucking tuition they're asking for you to pay. Yeah. So, no, yeah, I mean, the most I got out of it was the connections. I can't say that for everybody, but mine was that, because I moved to LA. I didn't know anybody. I didn't know anybody in the film industry. Mm-hmm. So it was harder for me to get connections, and that was part of it, was like to get my connections to film school. And then yeah, that was pretty much it. And then my nephew also came out here, and he was going to film school. And I told him, like, you don't got to go to film school. You have connections. Facts. Because I already did that. I already did that first step. The second, now you have that. If you need those connections or you need a call, just call me, you know?
Yeah.
So if you have someone, I think I said that in my other podcast, it's like, just, if you know someone in the film industry, you don't got to go to school.
Nah, I know. Yeah. We were talking a little bit off the podcast. I was even telling you, I was like, I did the film school thing, but I was like, truthfully, you can learn all this shit on the internet, bro. Yeah. I feel like you could do way that with now. Anything nowadays, unless you're trying to be a lawyer, a doctor, you're like those types of, you know, things.
Podcaster,
that you actually need to, and podcaster, you gotta go to school for sure.
And yeah. I remember people
saying, I went to school for this shit.
I remember hearing like people say, like, I think it was you too, actually, but at the time, at least, that you, it was better to have those credentials. Like
back in the day, back in the day.
Now it's, bro. Is it not like that?
It's more like, because of social media, right?
I put my diploma all the time.
Yeah,
you put your work up on social media, and it's like, okay, your work speaks for itself. You don't.
That's
need
what I've always. That's what I've always said. I even had bad grades in college. So.
2.5, bro. Talking to the camera, speaking to the youth. Go get back.
I think my resume speaks for itself. Because I asked you that same question with sports.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
Yeah,
so that's why. Like me, I had bad grades in school, right? Yeah. But I feel like I would have been a great athlete, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I feel like I would have been like,
turn your mic off, bro.
LeBron, no, Michael Jordan, Messi, Ronaldo type shit.
Yeah,
oh yeah, yeah.
That's exactly what I think. Messi, Ronaldo, Tom Brady,
I didn't have good grades in school, I couldn't get into good college.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But,
so what's different between sports and film school with having good grades and that work ethic?
I think film and stuff like that, it's creativity more than incompetence. You know, than...
Incompetent.
Damn, I'm all right, bro. No, you know what? We can change the subject.
Did you finish?
No, no, no. It's the truth, though, because like these filmmakers that are really dope, all that shit is in their head. So most of the time when I first started, all that shit was in my head and everybody around me was clueless on what the fuck I was doing.
Facts.
They were like, wait, so you... And then I'm like, yeah, this is what we're doing next. This is what we're doing next. That's how I was in the beginning. I was like, this is what we're doing next. Because it was all in my head.
You were editing before editing.
Yes, I was editing in my head. I knew what I wanted and it was in my head and I was bringing it out. But it was a slower process to shoot that way.
Yeah.
When I got into film school, those little things that they taught me, like how to create a shot list and how to shoot in a certain order, I always thought, like, no, we gotta shoot from the beginning of the video to the end of the video. That's how it has to be shot.
Yeah, chronological.
Yeah, that's how I thought it was supposed to be shot. But in reality, some of these shows and movies and stuff that I do, I shoot some stuff that's at the end of the video, in the beginning of the video.
Or the middle.
And I know what things that are not as important to shoot at the end, because if we don't have time, that can go away.
Yeah.
You know? But when it comes down to film school, like I said, I didn't have the greatest grades, but I knew how to create like art.
Yeah.
And it showed because I had really bad grades, but when it came down to creating our portfolio, mine stuck out the most out of everybody else's. Everybody else's, the dudes that had like the best grades and this and that, I saw their fucking portfolios and they weren't even halfway done. They would put up like slates saying this is where this belongs, but they couldn't finish it.
Yeah.
Because when people were doing like the homework or doing all this extra shit, I was out shooting shit to figure out how to make things happen the right way. So it taught me to make things go faster, you know, and I think my portfolio had like old school cars. We were shot in the 1920s and we had like moonshine and shit like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like jumped forward. But like with that being said, I missed pieces like audio. I didn't get the greatest audio because I wasn't there for audio, you know. Mm. And part of it was like my visual appearance was amazing, but some things lacked like audio and maybe a little bit of the script writing that I should have paid attention to, but I still passed. You know what I'm saying? So that was like where you would see maybe getting the good grades and doing your scripting better, you know?
Yeah.
So that was where all that stuff counted at.
Did you finish?
Yeah, I finished. Yeah, I never picked up my
diploma. Damn. What the fuck?
He said,
well, home under the bus.
I started just focusing on the gym, bro. Like, that's really my passion now. So I said, fuck that shit.
Hey, zero carbs, huh?
Your chest is sticking out your shirt. It's crazy.
Damn.
Nah, yeah, I didn't finish. But I even though.
Hey, bro.
It's okay, all right,
hold on. Let me turn this around.
Don't worry about it, bro.
Because
I didn't need that shit.
Hold on.
I'm great anyway.
Hold on. Let me be the host real quick.
Oh, shit. Run it.
So.
Excuse me?
So I know you didn't finish, but what was going through your head?
I finished. That's my girl, baby.
So when you finished, what was going through your head to say like, okay, I need to stop?
Well, let me tell you. Well, yeah, he asked you a question, so I would. Oh, yeah. No, brother. I finished for not for just one sole one sole reason.
Yeah,
it was a fact that I moved away to fucking H-Town. Shout out H-Town for the 1-1. Yeah.
Hesperia, not Houston.
I moved over there, so it was, the commute was to fucking Hollywood from Hesperia. I was like, that's just not gonna happen. Yeah. And then honestly, a lot of what I'm telling you right now was like I kind of like fell out of. I felt like I was learning more on my own than I was learning at school, right? Because one of my gripes with school was like, they approach it in a way where it's like book savvy or whatever. Yeah. They're just telling you shit, but it's like, bro, when are we gonna fucking hands put our on. Like hands on, bro? Yeah. That's what would piss me off. That was like one of my gripes. I don't know if that was like a similar thing with you.
I know for you,
he went to Columbia.
Yeah, I know that for you, one of your gripes was that you were always ahead of the game because the curriculum was behind, right?
Yeah, 100%. I think when I moved in, when I went into school, we were still on DV tape. But this is when the 5D just, the 5D was out for about 7 months, 8 months. But that's when like all the filmmakers were like, oh, this is how you do it. Mm-hmm. And I was seeing this shit on the internet. I'm like, bro, everybody's using the 5D and the red and this and that. And then we're out here fucking logging DV tape. Like,
no way.
We're like a whole generation behind. I was like, what the fuck?
God damn.
Yeah.
Bro.
Yeah. That's another thing, too. Like, okay.
I would have been so pissed.
It's Charlie Chaplin. Like,
no, not one of those. It's the little fucking little cassettes.
It's DV
footage. Yeah.
I should have known.
I would have been pissed, though. I would have been pissed if I graduated and I had a degree on DV tape, you know?
Yeah. But that shit is as fucking useful as a fucking communications degree.
Yeah.
Shout out everybody with the communications degree.
That shit's as fucking useless as a liberal arts degree. Shout out anybody with a liberal arts degree.
That shit is useless as carbs.
Yeah.
What?
Nah, that one didn't hit.
That shit's as liberal.
No, whatever. I was gonna say. I don't remember what I was gonna say. Actually, what was I gonna say?
Why you quit?
Why you?
Yeah.
Why, no.
You're a quitter. What was the question?
Yeah.
Did you make that choice yourself, or did you have people?
No. I definitely made the choice myself.
Oh, okay.
But it was like in those 3 years, brother, I had touched an Alexa once. These are cameras, by the way. Not a girl named Alexa.
Whoa. Your girl's like, what the fuck?
Who's this bitch Alexa?
And I
give
and
me your phone.
I'll let you touch one girl. That's crazy.
And I touched a red once, and it wasn't red. It was a camera also.
Yeah.
And then I touched like a Fisher dolly fucking once.
Whoa.
And I'm not saying your pussy smell like fish. I'm saying it was a dolly. But
and that's when you open the honey pack. And that's actually what it means.
And the Bluetooth.
Yeah. Shout out to the Serious Podcast, bro. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Yeah. All business here. If you guys want to buy crypto, make sure you guys drop it.
Okay, so I wanted to pivot. Well, actually, not really. So we're going to stick on filmmaking.
No, pivot.
But pivot. What's one of your biggest
Travel.
Gripes? What's one of your biggest gripes in the actual like filmmaking industry? Like, is there anything that like kind of like ticks you off that you see is going on?
Yeah.
It's a superhero movie.
Let's call him out. Fuck him. Say their name.
Nah. No. I guess. Don't
do that. That's actually his clientele.
No. I guess like you're asking me like what.
As far as like maybe creativity or like is there just something that's like super redundant like or I don't know.
In the industry?
Yeah, in the industry.
In general?
Yeah.
I feel like people that are paying to get on set.
Wait, that's happening?
I've seen some stuff that like people are just like joining like a class course where like they're not really learning shit. They're just like, I'm gonna get on set, and like they're fooled that the thing that they're gonna get called up again unless they're paying in a way.
Oh
yeah, I've seen that around, and I'm just like, oh, that's a little weird. Cause like in reality is like if you want to like pay someone to help you to learn to do film, like learn this shit. Like have someone that's gonna teach you how to do this shit, or at least the ropes, or mentor you in a way. And they don't just see you as like a check on set, like, oh, he's gonna pay me because he's on set.
Right.
Yeah, but like I never, even when like people that be hitting me up on like DMs to come out on shoots, like I always like, yeah, come through, just let me know if you have a camera, come out and shoot, whatever, like just to give you like some experience. I'm like, all I ask is like, yo, just send me the photos, like that's it,
yeah.
And then just let me know what you want to post, so then I go clear it, and then you can post, you know. But like, I've never charged anybody for like mentorship. Unless they're like asking for me to call them and spend time doing that type of shit. They want to learn something.
Time out
like,
of your day.
Yeah, because like I got a bunch of shit going on, and like I'm like dealing with my fucking computer or some shit. And like if it's something like that, then that's cool. But like I feel like when people are like not trying to give people like real gems and teach them how to do shit so like they can go forward, then I don't think you should be like taking advantage of someone that wants to be in a film industry that you are in, that people passionately want to be there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, that's dope. Because that's something that you dealt with, though, with the whole gatekeeping when you were coming up, right?
Yeah, there was a lot of that, and it wasn't like people were charging. People just weren't trying to like let people on set, and it was like, I didn't take no offense to it because I was barely starting, and I understood that like you got to pay your dues. You know what I'm saying? But like, I think nowadays people are just seeing money everywhere, and it's like, oh, you know, digital course online that shows you everything that you could look up on YouTube.
Dude,
you know?
Yeah. Fuck that. That's one of the things that pisses me off about
redundant. Like, you already could find, you know, and it's kind of fucked up that people are doing it for free. They're giving game out for free because they love filmmaking. If you want to get more in depth with it, then you'll pay that because the person's teaching you the what should be learned that it's hard to learn. But like, yeah, I think that's a little weird.
Yeah, that shit, that's definitely one of the things I've noticed too. It's like everybody has a fucking course for something now. It's just like, bro, give it a, like, that shit's out there for free. Just fucking,
yeah,
just YouTube it, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's what I tell people. I'm like, unless you're going to do some one-on-one stuff and take your time out of the day to help someone to like really polish them up, I feel like don't do it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could probably find that last quarter.
What's your favorite genre? And also, what's your least favorite genre? Like,
of music?
No, I mean in film. Like,
oh,
that's a good question.
Hip hop is my least.
It's your least, like music videos and stuff like that. That's because why? Because it's like too like
certain artists
template. It's like
just,
there's only so
no. It's just for like certain. It's hard to work with certain artists.
Motherfucker show up late.
Yes, a lot of the times you show up late. That's what it sucks. There's some artists that are about their business, but that most of them make the rest of them look bad. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, that'd be that. And then I think my favorite stuff is like boxing and like sports. It's fun. Just because
sports,
like,
film, documentary.
Yeah, because I boxed amateur for a while, so I like.
Oh shit!
Yeah, yeah. Bro. I did it for like a fucking. Hold on, relax.
Damn, we got a golden glove.
No.
Oh, what the?
Relax. You fucked up Canelo?
No.
Yeah. I heard Ryan Garcia has 2 L's on his history, and it's Gervonta Davis and Georgia Rose.
Congrats on that fight, by the way. That was a good fight.
No, yeah.
Undefeated? What?
That's crazy, bro.
Nah, but I was.
You're mad at my talent.
Hey, chill out. I'm 1-0.
Relax. That's right. Me too. That's right.
Undefeated.
Too.
Retired.
No, oh, it's defeated.
Oh, okay. Oh, 1.
Oh, 1.
Oh, 1.
Yeah.
What's like your. Okay. What like experimental type of genre would you want to try that you haven't tried yet?
I think it's not experimental, but I guess it's like I want to do a documentary, and I think I talked about so I want to do a documentary on my dad, so but tying it to like film farm workers and undocumented immigrants.
Okay,
so I want to like put, that's what my next goal is to create a documentary around that field.
I know some cartel guys, if you want to.
No. Not that type of field.
No, it's funny you say that, though, because while you were telling us about Lindsay, I was like, bro, making a doc there would be like so unique. Yeah. And just like you said, the people around you that have like similar backgrounds. It's like, well, even we have family that live in Ridley.
I've been there.
And, how far is that from Lindsay?
45 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So we have family out there. And like, yeah, same thing. Like our Theos and Theas, they work in the fields and shit. And it's just so different growing up over there to like where the fuck 100%. We grew up, you know? Yeah. So it's like, I'm glad you actually said that. Yeah. Like you'd be interested in making a doc out there, because I don't know if that's really been
done. Not everybody understands that culture.
Like, they're really the unsung heroes, bro. They really are.
They really are. They don't understand that culture. Like, we don't understand the produce that is inside of Ralph's or
it's like Costco. Most of the produce comes from like Northern California.
Yeah. Which is crazy. And it's 30% of the world's produce comes from California.
Nuts.
It's a crazy stat. I think that's the normal, like this side of the United States. It's 34%. But yeah, it's like I said, it's nobody understands the culture, because over here it's like either if you're undocumented, it's either you're a construction worker or you're hustling like certain jobs like gardening or whatever. Over there it's fields, and it gets blistering hot. And I'm not saying it doesn't get blistering hot over here, but over there the conditions are hotter, and like they're working all year long.
Yeah,
you know, if it's not oranges, it's fucking pistachio. If it's not pistachio, it's fucking cherry. If it's not cherry, it's fucking whatever you could think of. They have it out there. And then it's just like, I just trip out on that.
Also, like the physical act of like picking is like, it takes a toll on your body.
Bro, plants are low, bro. Like just yesterday, I was fixing up like a drawer, and I was like bent over for like 10, 15 minutes, my back hurt, bro. Imagine an eight hour, 10 hour shift, bro. Like, picking fruit, like, on your back all fucking day.
The Uba. Uba is like, it's like that. So grapes and shit. Okay. Like, if you drive through the grapevine and you go down, like, you finally get off of it and you look to your left, there's fields there that are about 5 feet or maybe a little bit, 4.5 feet. And they're, the way they do is they let them spring up and then they put a bar in the middle and then they spring it out. So you have to go physically inside of it and crouch down and fucking pick them out. So you're crouching down the whole thing. It's crazy, bro. Mm-hmm. And I remember I went out there with my dad and I was like, bro, I cannot fucking do this. This is like back quenching shit. Like, it hurts. Yeah. You got to be used to it. And some people get deformed and shit after a while because they're out there for so many years.
And that documentary is going to come from like a real place, someone who lived.
Yeah.
You know? Because, bro, it sounds so, like, for me, that someone who just likes looking at documentary shit, it sounds so enticing just to do it because it's like, you know, you're going to get a reaction out of it. You know, a bunch of La Raza is going to come out and support the video.
Yeah.
And it's just like, anybody who has the money to do it can just go and do it. And then, like, it's not going to have like the real authentic feel. Because they just want to get the story and get the fuck out.
Yeah.
Whereas like someone like you or yourself that went through it, like you know, like
we know the in between the lines.
Yeah,
stuff.
You know the shit. Like you know when your dad got home from late at work, maybe you took his boots off and shit.
Yeah.
Like little tiny details like that, and like you or just feeling your dad's hands when you're holding his hand. It's like you can feel all the rough shit.
Crazy.
And like, his hands are you're so lucky terrible. To have your hands like not like that because he's sacrificed
100%.
So like it comes. It's gonna be interesting to see a documentary because it's like it comes from a real place.
Yeah. There's a time in the year when my dad goes over to Wichita because I think Central Valley in Fresno, that whole area, like they're not really. There's not a much agriculture. So he goes out to Wichita. And this is where I really want to shoot this stuff at. It looks like some shit in a fucking movie. Remember Scarface? Where they had the encampment and like they were living in that type of shit?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They have that in Wichita. So you just pay like $100 a week to live in the fields in like these fucking tents. And they're there for weeks. And they're just working.
And they gotta pay to live.
Yeah, there? it's like a way to live there for a while. Yeah. But they'll work there. They'll live there for weeks. And my dad will be there for like six, seven weeks.
Damn.
But he'll make a lot of money there. Like he'll make the like 20-30 grand in 6 weeks.
Fuck
yeah.
Put me out there. What the fuck?
Nah, you wouldn't survive, bro.
I wouldn't survive. I'm already low to the ground.
That's true.
To what?
To the ground.
That's true. Nah, you wouldn't.
No, you gotta be on ladders and shit.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what? Nah, it's not for me, bro.
Wait, is that shit dangerous?
I mean, if you fall and you mess your shit up, there's people that just don't do it anymore because of that.
Yeah.
And there's like no workers' comp or anything like that, so it's hard to like.
Wait, what are they picking out there?
Fuck. I think oranges. I don't know if it's oranges, but it's a bunch of random shit. They have different fields in that area as well.
You know what supports your ladder? Branches.
Yeah.
So you're bouncing, bro. They just throw the ladder. Throw it. And you just go up real quick and
you're balanced and they're carrying a fucking 50 pound bag. It's nothing in the beginning, but by the time they're done, that bag is like 50 pounds.
I don't know.
So they're coming down. It's crazy. You know? My dad carrying that shit. Like
I'm scared of heights, bro. Fuck that shit.
Yeah, and I was bitching at my McDonald's when I was working the fucking fry station, bro.
Yeah. So they're 15 feet long too. They come off of a truck, 15 feet long, and they're up there at the top, tippity top. To grab the rest of it, and they'll start up there and grab it.
You gotta worry about bugs up there and shit.
I don't know.
That's what you're worried about.
I don't know, a fucking tarantula or something.
Yeah. Oh, actually,
but their hands sure gotta be no. Bugs. But there's some type of chemical that is on the citrus stuff because they spray it down. So at the end of the day, there's a vlog. I'll send it to you. But at the end, my dad's hands are fucking white. Damn. Of the powder, whatever it is. You can't physically see it.
Yeah.
But after a while of them picking for so long, their hands turn fucking like coke white.
Oh, it's shit. Crazy. It's like pesticides or something?
Something, yeah.
Oh, shit.
It's crazy. I was like, oh, fuck, man.
But which fruit do you got to wash, bro? You got to tell me. I know, but which one's like the emphasis, like, make sure you fucking wash this one. Or is there not one in particular?
Your culo?
Probably ones that you drop on the floor. Like if you dropped it on the floor.
Yeah, you got to really wash that peach. That peach.
Lettuce. I seen too many documentaries on lettuce.
Oh fuck! I seen fucking TikTok videos where they fucking soak lettuce and there's like little worms coming out of that shit. I'm like, oh my.
But you ain't gotta tell me that, bro. Taco Bell be fucking on my shit every week. That's give me facts. A fucking Crunchwrap Gordita. No, it's Supreme, funny. Whatever the fuck.
That I saw a video on TikTok too where some white lady was like, "You're supposed to wash your fruit," and like the comments were just like, "Yeah, you fucking dirty bitch." What the fuck? Hey, she's like, "I just found that out." Fuck.
Comment out loud like that.
Come yeah, her oh, crazy.
It's because like all the packaging is already done in the factory.
Yeah,
like it, but it goes from the because they don't wash it. It goes from the big ass truck down into the conveyor belt. By the conveyor belt, it's already in the box.
Yeah,
and at that point, they're gonna just take off the box and put it up on the shelf.
That's yeah, crazy. And these homeboys because they think they're shopping at Sprouts and shit. Like it's all good, everything's good under the hood, but it's not.
Does that should make you a picky eater?
Not really. I eat whatever. No, except right. Carbs.
Except carbs.
Bro. Except carbs.
That's just like, that's just like, carbs, bro. It's like 20 bucks to fill that shit up. The big
yeah,
big
they're like $20, bro. $20 to fill up like a thing. So like.
Oh, I'd be working, bro.
But yeah, but imagine doing that for hours.
That's where your dad, that's the thing your dad's about perseverance me, comes through.
Yeah. Right? He like, makes I'm, a lot of. He I'm makes joking. More money than the majority of them there.
He's a hustler, huh?
Because he'll be knocking down like 20, 30 in a day. Times
bro, but it, I think it fucking it shows in you too, though. You're like I feel like you have like hustler qualities about you that you probably adopted I think it's from
just
your dad.
I think it's just like knowing that my dad does that shit in the fields. Like yeah. Now he doesn't have to do it now, but like when he had to do it in the fields when he was growing up, he moved out. He came out here when he was like 16, 15 at some point. But I just knew that he did so much. Like, what's the point of me giving up on like projects or like losing a client because I wanted to be lazy because I didn't want to turn something in at a certain time?
Yeah.
It's like, bro, like I'm on a computer. Like, this is fucking easy work. My creativity takes a toll, but at the same time, like, there's ways to work around that. Like, taking mental breaks or going out and doing something to kind of like refresh your brain and get away from TV.
Smash.
And, yeah.
Yeah. Well,
fucking. My fault.
It just.
Now you.
Nah, that shit makes me go
that, that shit's just.
Low key, through. Me. Yeah, bro. I'm the same, bro. Facts. After that, like 2 minutes of my. Yeah.
So you're saying, I was just going to say, it shines through just knowing his route into like college. Like he had to wait for some people to drop out, right? You had to wait for a couple people to drop out, and then on top of that, after you were done with like your money, like you had to, you had to kick it in the car.
Oh yeah. It was. I mean, honestly, and it just
shows like you're
having it. Yeah, because this is the thing though. Is like I seen people like in the streets like sleeping, and they could fucking endure it. You know, now it's more worse than ever, but back then, like I just saw people that were just like trying to survive.
I was going to town over there.
Let's hold for sound for a little bit. Let's take a break. We'll be right back, all right?
I'm fucking going to town with the Weedy West.
Yeah, what the?
Yeah, we're back from the break after the Chainsaw Man was over here.
Just Chainsaw Massacre?
Yeah, he's just chilling. But I wanted to ask you something because I saw that you worked with Hobson.
I saw that too.
And like,
I'm your biggest fan, bro.
I geeked out over him. Like,
oh, really?
When I used to listen to him, I was geeked because it's just like, he's a good storyteller.
Great story.
And I would see the behind the scenes and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And I was looking through and I heard you talk about, like, oh yeah, well, I worked in with Hobson and this and that, right? Mm-hmm. And I was like, I wonder if he did the fucking big ass Ill Mind of Hobson 8. And then I looked and I saw, like I said, like it was, you were like the director of it.
Which one? The courthouse one, I think?
Yeah, the courthouse.
Yeah.
Bro, like that shit was huge when it came out because it was just going against. Was it Funk Volume?
Funk Volume. That whole situation was crazy.
Yeah. So like when the video released, that's when the song came out, right?
Like it. Just, It was all together.
It's all together. So how was that? Because you knew what was about to happen, right?
Yeah. Obviously, I already. Well, the thing is, I knew way before that shit was happening. Like the whole thing happened like months before. It was just Twitter or whatever the fuck was going on, and the song was getting created, and then Hop was just like, "Yo, we gotta shoot." We gotta shoot at a courthouse. This needs to be this. He had the idea the whole time.
Yeah.
He just needed me to make sure that the idea came to life and it stayed on track. Mm-hmm. And it was just like fucking, it was cool. But like I was in the middle of it because I was with Funk Volume. Mm-hmm. I came in with this guy named Dizzy Wright. Mm-hmm. He's a dope artist too.
Yeah, he's cool.
I came in with him because he got signed and they were like, well, we don't really have a video guy. So let's just work with George. And I became everybody's shooter at the time. And when all that shit happened, I'm like, it's in the air. So I'm like, oh, fuck, what side am I going to go? And like, I was really cool with Hobson. And to this day, I'm still cool with him. Yeah. I was like, I'm just going to stick with Hop because me and him have a really good relationship. So yeah. I stuck with him the whole time. Mm-hmm. And I was just there and I was like, fuck, well, this video's gonna come out. And the other owner guy was gonna be pissed because I shot the video and I made a lookalike like him. Mm-hmm. The guy's into fitness. Oh, like he's really shit. Like skinny. Yo. And like he fucking does like triathlons and a bunch of shit. Oh, shit. I went to go get a version of him, but really fat. Just, yeah. You know, and then, you know, it just didn't work out. And like the other guy, we just never talked. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was a crazy moment.
People who don't know, like, I'm sure, I don't know if you're
lost. I have no idea.
But like, could you give like context to what was happening?
It was just like at the time, so Funk Volume was like, if nobody knows who Funk Volume is, they were competing with TDE, which is Kendrick Lamar's label. Yeah. They were like competing with each other. Like they both had like the same type of like rap and like they had the big fan bases. And like, I guess the other owner was talking about how like Hobson was lazy, but some artists don't work the way that normal artists work, which is like, oh, I need to get to work. This is how I do it. Like yeah. He needs to take his time. And like things need to come organically to him, not like being forced to make music.
That's how I am.
So he, the owner guy was like interpreted as like, oh, he's just being lazy, and like he said it and to him, and he was like, well, this is bullshit. There was a lot of ego shit going on at the time, mm-hmm. And I think he talked about it, saying like, you know, it was off of like, you know, personal reasons and stuff like that, but all that just happened so, you know, out of a sudden, and I just had to just be on one side, which me and Hop are super cool. And we always talk on the phone. Like, he will just catch up at least once a month. Mm-hmm. There's sometimes it'll be like every other week. But yeah, that was just a crazy moment in time.
Yeah, like that time when that whole music show was happening, it was like, that was like his announcement that he was dipping.
Yeah.
Like from the.
Oh, shit.
So he did it in like a whole song, and he directed the whole video. And the whole video is fucking funny because they're in the courthouse, and he's telling him, like, you took my money, you took this from this food, you took this from that food. And he's like, it's a whole rap song.
I didn't know his all this.
Airing out all this shit. All the
fucking.
And at the very end, he's like, you took, wishes good luck to all his, like, homies that were on the label with him.
Yeah.
He's like, but I'm going solo. Like,
yeah.
Damn,
and it was such like a big thing. Right. That video has like 100 million views.
Yeah, it just broke that, so it's crazy.
That shit is fucking crazy, bro.
Is that what the most viewed thing you've ever?
Nah, I've had like one. One's almost at 1 billion views.
Oh god, damn!
Who did Despacito and shit? Despacito.
Nah, he did the.
You ever heard about
See You Again on the Wiz Khalifa? See You Again?
Yeah. Fuck no! I wish. That's a check.
He's the one who did the AI of Paul Walker.
Too soon.
Bro.
I have his car
too
right
soon?
Here. Yeah. I have his car right here. You're beating me.
That's why I said it. Come on.
No, so what's the one that has that many views?
Do you know who Virlana García is?
It sounds Spanish like it rings
artist.
A bell.
No. Spanish artist.
I don't know.
It's one of the songs from
probably.
Him. I didn't even know that it was going to hit 1 billion views. Last time I saw it was like 995 million.
Damn.
Yeah. Bro, that's fucking nuts.
Damn. Run that shit up.
There's some people who are thinking like, right now listening, they're like, you don't know who the fuck that is.
I know, bro. But also, I know we're on the internet, bro. But we suck at being on the internet.
Yeah, but also, y'all didn't know who Hobson was, so fuck you.
Yeah,
fuck you. Hobson is the kangaroo dude.
Yeah,
cause he hops. It's not my best work.
Hobson, don't worry about it, dude.
My bad, Hobson. I don't want no beef with you, bro. Don't make no fucking music video.
You don't think he's gonna waste your time. He's very intricate.
That's dope though, bro. Yeah. That's great to be like part of like such huge production.
Yeah,
that's what I just want.
You know what's crazy though? Like, I think before we were friends, he had another person that was like a really good friend with that would rap. Mm-hmm. His name was George, mm-hmm. And he did this song to him like a while back. I guess because he leaked his music. Like, this guy George leaked his music, and in one of his songs, he talked about him. He went off on him, whatever. So every time he would post me, like, on his page or in his story, they'd be like, yo, is that George, the guy that fucking leaked your music? Like,
that
happened all the time.
That's funny. Fuck that's that just, food. I'm just kidding.
No, I've been and put in, like, I think 3 freestyles from him. Oh. And, like, Sway in the Morning and then some other fucking freestyle. Tim Westwood and a few other ones that he's, like, said my name in the song because he just got fucking.
That's right.
Yeah, it's crazy. I was like, I remember one time I asked him to. I called him on the phone. He was like, yo, where are you? I was like, I'm going to Tim Westwood. I'm like, oh, Tim Westwood? I listen to Tim Westwood. Tim Westwood's like a platform.
TV.
Yeah, Westwood TV is like a platform where people rap and shit. And then he's like, I honestly don't know. And then he's like, I was like, oh, okay. You got any raps ready? He's like, not really. And he's like, oh, okay. And then fucking they asked him to rap or something. I think, no, it was Sway. Mm. And he's like, I need to put together like a fucking freestyle. And he went off the dome and fucking said my name because he remembered that I asked him about that.
That's tight.
That's pretty funny.
Bro, that's I want fun. Somebody to say my name, bro.
I don't know, man. I was like, I gotta ask him about it.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember at the time, dude, like, I was waiting. I was just like, I heard that song so many fucking times.
Yeah.
I was like, that's crazy.
It's a cool song.
Let's say hypothetically, like an up and coming like director, filmmaker is coming to you. Not, I don't want to say for advice, but like a checklist. What's on that checklist that you're like, you need to have this to make sure that, not just equipment wise, but more so mentally or have figured out?
I think the main stuff is like, you're going to get so many no's from people. Like when I first started, like I was getting like, when I wanted to shoot videos, like there's a lot of people that I wanted to do videos for just to learn or just try to get good at it. When I first did my first video, I was like, oh, I need to go do more. I went to go reach out to people to do music videos for free and everybody was saying no to me. And that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. It's going to happen with brands. It's going to happen with you know, like stores that want videos or you want to do videos with them. They're going to say no. And that's just part of like getting better and then not letting that like put you down, like, oh, I don't know if I want to do this. Because there's so many no's, but then once you hit a yes, you're gonna be like, that shit is worth it.
Yeah.
You know, and then another thing is like learning how to edit. I think that's a huge thing that a director needs to do, because if you don't know how to edit, when someone edits for you, you won't be able to translate what you want when right. It's time. So knowing lingo, like how to edit or things you want to change, because I've been in situations where some directors don't even know what they're telling me. They just, I just want it to look more this, and they're like using the wrong terminology, mm-hmm. and it doesn't make sense sometimes.
Yeah.
So learning your terminology, knowing how to edit, and even knowing how to shoot, because sometimes when you want to tell someone at some point when you get bigger, knowing how to tell them what you want is harder than you think, because you don't know how to like say it to them, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's a lot of things to learn, is like, just like anything else, like the audio industry has certain things, or the video has certain things too. There's ways to translate things, and it's not like, oh yeah, just turn to the right and this and that, and they're like, well, they're gonna turn to the right instead of like panning a certain way, you know? And
so, yeah. Have you directed anything that with like physical actors or like scene direction or anything like that? Because I know you mentioned sports, like, and yeah, like have you ever directed like
I haven't done anything
like a drama or something like that?
Not yet. I think that's it's like yes and no, because that comes out of pocket sometimes, you know what I'm saying? I've done stuff where like I asked them to do skits and stuff like that, but nothing major as like
a Marvel movie,
like scenes or anything. Like
Bro, I have
we've done like, well, Hobson, we've done like scenes where I need them to do certain things, but
right
yeah
I have a Sunday league game if you want to record me my highlights later.
Imagine just tomorrow. Directed by
hey, what's that one video I saw online where the guy was like, you guys are not gonna go to fucking play in the MLS, and like they're all talking shit. You guys seen that video?
I haven't seen that shit.
And he fucking scores at the end and he gets a trophy. Oh. It was like it went viral.
He scored at the end and they took a like what, like a video of shit, and he has a trophy?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
I don't know where I was going with that. I gotta watch the video.
Oh, okay. I need to see this shit.
It's hilarious. It's like Sunday league and the fool's going off on his own team.
Damn.
It's like, you guys ain't doing fucking shit.
Oh, bro, I do know what the fuck. He's like chewing them out.
Yeah, and he's like, hey, let's be honest. We're not all fucking messy here.
Yeah.
He's like, we're not going to the fucking, to the European leagues.
Bro, it's not the fucking Champions League. Chill out.
Yeah.
That's true, though. Having a team.
Well, I'll be at the same game if you want to record me. I think it'll be easy to record me because I'll be on the bench. I'm not really moving that much, but
just do all fucking voiceovers.
Yeah. Like,
fuck these fools. I'm like, can't wait to go fucking
just
out here.
Just mic us up, bro. That's going viral. Nah, mic us up.
I sound like I'm drowning. I sound like I'm drowning when I'm running, bro.
Y'all get canceled and shit.
Yeah, bro. It'd be too much.
So
is there like an individual athlete you'd ever like would want to work with?
Henry Ruggs, huh?
You already fucking. Yo, what the fuck?
What?
You already did it.
I mean, Canelo was one. That was like a really big thing, but I'm trying to think.
OJ Simpson.
What?
No?
Aaron,
you won't see me again, G.
Using a white Bronco?
I think football wise, I would want to do someone.
No.
I'm a big Cowboys fan, so I would probably want to work with the Cowboys.
Dak?
CD.
Mika?
CD.
Here we go. Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Jerry Jones, all that.
I think I would just want to work with the media department in the Cowboys.
Dude, that shit's sick. I see a lot of people like doing that. They just get to like they get media passes. They're just on the sidelines, just chilling.
Yeah,
like what a fucking dope.
These fools don't get paid that much either, though. Like to shoot like the actual event, like they get paid like $200-$300.
Yeah, God.
But they get money on the backside if they get their photos used.
Hey, free pistols.
But yeah. But God forbid fucking someone takes your phone and does a backflip with it. You get fired right away.
Oh, shout out Tyreek.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
Hey, that was his personal videographer, though.
That was yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, oh, never mind.
Well, he said he paid him for, like, the fucking, his salary for this
year.
And shit. Yeah. Did you guys see that the people who attended the Miami Chiefs game in Arrowhead? You know, it was like
they're frozen. And
yeah,
shit?
Bro, they're fucking like a lot of them.
They're advising them like you should just cut your fingers off.
They're telling they got to amputate that shit. What?
They got frostbite.
No. Yeah. But also, who shows up to a fucking game in like that weather, bro?
People that want
to
make money off the shoveling and shit because they were shoveling.
Oh, wasn't that for the Bills game though?
Was it? I got the wrong game. Huh?
Yeah, it's all good though.
But I think that Chiefs game was like record breaking, like the lowest temperature.
It was like second or third.
Yeah.
Would you go to a game like that if you like?
Fuck no, bro.
Fuck yeah.
I my nipples
good
get hard,
ass
bro.
Seeds. Ain't nobody going to that fucking game.
Everybody went to that fucking game.
That shit was packed, bro.
It's a playoff.
Oh, because it was a playoff game.
Of course.
But if that was like a normal game in November, like it's like
you would see a Chivas game like that?
I don't know, bro. I'm trying to see a Chivas.
I would ask.
Hey, respectfully. For the first time ever in this fucking podcast, I agree with Dreams.
Oh, damn, first time. Shit. That's crazy.
Why don't you guys agree?
Because Junior's had it out for him since...
He picks this guy, bro.
I don't know who he thinks he is switching and shit. That's why I got to sit over here. That, it's the only way I'll get seen.
That's why.
Yeah. A little, like you were telling us a little bit off the pod about you went like on a trip to Thailand.
Yeah.
You said you were out there for like, 5 months and then you got stuck out there?
Oh, 5.5 months.
Yeah, what the fuck were you doing? You were like traveled. On vacation? Or
no,
what?
So Hobson went out there. We went to go shoot a video. So he was already out there.
Hobson, bro. Yeah, I knew it was going to come back.
Yeah. So he was.
Is that Nocturnal Rainbows?
Yep.
Yeah, that's him.
Yeah. No, I mean the video. Man. Oh, was there a video for Nocturnal Rainbows?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, bro. It was directed by some other
fan. Is he, you listen to Hobson?
Yeah.
Somewhat.
Yeah,
I'm not like that. Oh.
So, yeah, he was out there since December of the year before. Mm-hmm. Was it 2019? In 2020, right? Yeah. 2019, he was already out there recording And he was like, yo, I have this song I want to do. Come out here so we can shoot it. I was like, well, come out here, I think February. He was like, come out here in February. And I was like, for sure. And then he was like, what? And then February came. He was like, I'll get you your ticket later. I don't have a song ready yet. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool, whatever. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'll have you out here for like 2 weeks. We'll like hang out and do shit for the first week and then shoot the video the next week. So I said, yeah. And then it came into, I think, March. And then March was when like COVID was kind of coming out and like the shit was in the news.
Yeah.
But nobody fucking knew what it was. We thought it was like shit that was an overseas.
People eating bats.
Americans thought like that shit is not coming over here. So
yeah, facts.
It's just people eating bats in China.
Yeah.
I didn't give a fuck. I was essential.
That's what they said.
I was still eating Kung Pao chicken. I give a fuck.
I got COVID in March.
Hey, run me my combo B, bitch.
Give me that jalapeno.
With the two egg rolls.
Bitch.
Two.
Honey, water,
no,
drink.
No. Not spring
roll. I know.
Not
the spring roll. Extra.
Not spring roll. Egg roll.
This is fucking racist.
Fucking A.
Shout out Wuhan.
I want to see you at the shout mall out, ordering like
out,
that, G.
Yeah, shout out W-Town.
He's blasted. You better watch the fuck out.
It's Wu-Tang. For the children.
My boys yatted, like, bro. Shout out your boys, too.
Man. 6 hours in
shout the out, chair. Shout out W-Town out that Wuhan.
Yeah.
No, but so
you're throwing up the
working in
the
no, lab. But there was a bunch of news in that, you know, at the midst of all that shit happening. Like, I didn't listen because I thought, like I said, we've never like actually fucking had anything like that to even shut down the world or
I can't even
the
think
United
of
States.
Anything like that.
I think the last thing was fucking what was it?
Spanish flu? Like
no, it was the swine flu. I think that was a scare.
Wasn't it like the fucking AIDS epidemic?
It was the swine flu when they said they were they're gonna shut. They never did though.
Yeah, that's my
yeah. So they just teased it.
My homie was like, oh, I can't believe you're gonna go to fucking
they're dropping
an EP.
Stay tuned.
Yo, the video's coming.
just 30-second trailer.
Yeah, but they could. What happened is the pharmaceutical couldn't agree to the splits.
Yeah.
That's why it just never worked out. You know,
yeah, brother. So they just wanted like 40 on digital. Just,
yeah,
it's like
they were like, nah, we gotta get the splitty.
Yeah. My bad, bro. This
no, podcast. You good? You good? This podcast, yeah.
Israel's next topic.
Went straight to DVD.
Yeah. He said Israel's next. All right. No, but so yeah, I ended up heading out there and fucking we were like, oh, the first week we hung out, did all the fun shit, went out to go fucking, you know, to the like the bars and shit.
Yeah, red light district.
Yeah.
Nah, never, huh?
They don't have one there.
In Thailand?
No.
They what got the bars. Fuck did I go to, bro? Shit.
You went
no,
to,
but they ha-
you I, went you to was, Hong Kong and that was so, the
Squid Game.
Yo, oh. No. It's crazy because like I was there, whatever, when I started drinking, getting drunk and shit. And like we were just like, oh, we're just going to walk around. And then I think I ate crocodile. It tastes like chicken.
That's what everybody
it's
says.
It's crazy. No, but like when it comes down to it, says. So there's actually like a section where like the bars are all Lady Boys.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, for you.
I was tripping out. I was like, holy shit. I didn't know. When I went to Thailand, I have no clue.
I'm about to find a
what
wife.
The culture, what the culture that, huh? was there. No, I was just like, and I was drunk when I had the realization, like, yo,
oh, these
this
are
is
dudes.
Real.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, let's go back to the bar we started at. Like, because I was sober, so yeah. I knew that one was a safe place.
Yeah.
Motherfucker but we hung like out. Me would get more drunk, baby. Yeah.
They don't call it Bangkok for nothing. Oh, crazy. It's not even the same
thing. We weren't even Bangkok.
Yeah.
We were in a Phuket.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it was cool. So we hung out, and then we started shooting the video.
He's a good quarterback.
He played for Barca.
Piquet?
Sorry. Yeah.
But yeah, we started shooting the video, and then the whole alert went out. Like, hey, it, you know, there was a big fight in Bangkok, and they were doing a meet and greet, and one of the fighters had COVID, and he was doing a meet and greet with everybody that was there for a big fucking fight. And he was doing a meet and greet. Dude exposed like 400 people that night.
Damn.
And that shit just spread.
That motherfucker low key started it, yeah, bro.
That boy got all the points. Fucking LeBron James type of shit.
Can you imagine his COVID rewards? This motherfucker just giving everybody this shit. Just to redeem the shit. Hey, yo, redeem it. Redeem the shirt.
That shit. Imagine, that whole pyramid scheme of COVID,
bro.
Use just, code.
No, you gonna make me richer,
Damn, bro. You were the you were. Did you catch it?
No,
are you lucky?
I didn't catch it
ever.
Yeah, I did. What, like
that's fucking
last year?
That's fucking bullshit, isn't it? You were literally there and you didn't catch it, and then you came over here and you caught it.
Or yeah, I caught it like a year late, like a year and a half later. Though.
Oh, it was like tamed down.
It's like tamed down, tainted and shit, like watered down, like this.
Yeah.
It's Amazon.
No, but so yeah, they ended up shutting all the plane and boat rides.
Yeah,
the whole time, and we were in Phuket, so we. The airport was like 20 minute little bike ride with the little had one of those
the mopeds.
So I had one of those. I'll just drive down there, check every day, still closed for like fucking 4 months, the same shit over and over. And over
bro, that's way too fucking.
What are you
long.
Supposed to do? Cause money,
bro.
And shit?
I fucking
like, boys.
Oh, he had money, so he just bro. He had me like on an allowance, so he was like, here's like. Fuck, but that's the thing. I know, right?
Here, no, here, go, me, here go me.
Throw out the trash.
No.
You need to do your chores. No, you can't have it.
You're grounded.
No,
don't talk back.
They were just like, you know, he was just like, yo, I give you certain amount. No, but like over there, like it's fucking cheap. Yeah. So like, you know, breakfast with like everything, rice, eggs and food and all that. It's like less than $1. So fucking $20 in a day is hard to spend. Yeah. Like in once you convert it or whatever, it's like it's really hard to spend. So
bet.
I know where we're taking our next business vacation.
Yeah.
There it is.
Hey, $45 in
But yeah, for
I
like
can't, there's a virus.
Yeah.
I can't go home.
I have a headache. Hold on.
I'm driving every day in a moped all the way to the airport to check if it's open.
Hey, though.
It was fun though. It was like there was like no tourists at all. Everybody was gone. Like they gave people like 24 hours to like dip, and like we were like, we can wait it out. We're like, we gotta finish the video. We just wait it out. So it got to the point where like we were there for 4 months, and no fucking transportation.
Damn, bro.
Finally, the fourth month, like in the middle of it, to the fifth, we had a boat ride from where we were at to this other island called the Phi Phi Island. Shut up. I already know.
I'm mature.
It's right there by the Poo Poo Peninsula.
It was him, bro.
God, that over here waiting for his.
Nah, it's not good.
Nah, but so we. But you know what's crazy? The boat was like. You know, you see those fucking movies with like fucking Mortal Kombat and shit, that all wood and shit. Yeah. It was like that.
I played Assassin's
just
Creed.
Threw our fucking maletas in there and just fucking took off. We're like, hopefully we make it.
Fuck, how long was that boat ride?
Like an hour.
Okay. Fuck that yeah. though.
And then we got on a small ass plane. I was scared of the plane more than the fucking boat.
Yeah.
But you know what's crazy?
Yeah, well, you were.
They had
you
service were everywhere.
Planes?
Service.
Oh, service.
Everywhere. It was better than out here. You guys have no service here.
Oh, well, in like Thailand?
Hey, yeah, chill, facts, chill. Hey, bro. We got Wi-Fi though.
Shut up, easy.
You should have asked for the code.
No, but I'm saying like it was actually kind of crazy because there was service everywhere. Even in the middle of the ocean, we were like service fucking going live.
5G and
in
shit?
In the boat and shit. Yeah, it was like.
On live?
It's the, yeah. It's the vibranium down there.
Yeah.
Something. But, you know, yeah, so we ended up getting to PB Island. PB Island took us over to Bangkok and we had to wait there for like 3-4 weeks till a plane got us on. They got us on a plane to go to the United States.
Oh, shit.
Shit.
Damn, bro. Fuck yeah. That. That sounds like a fucking, I don't know. It sounds like a nightmare, but also like a little mini vacation.
It was fun, but like it got to the point where it was like, damn. Like
I want
to
go home.
Yeah. And I missed my dog at the time. Like I was missing my dog. I have a pit bull. I was like, bro, I miss my dog. Like,
wait, were you with your lady at the time?
We started talking around that time, Habib. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool because I was just going to ask that too.
Yeah.
Because like, I mean, you have your girl here, obviously. Yeah. But we'll continue actually the rap.
Because if you were with your lady at the, like, during that time, it's like, damn, now you're missing her too, not just your dog.
We just started talking. Huh? Yeah.
No, that's what I'm saying though. Like, if had you guys
that
been dating?
That would have been crazier. Yeah. Been I like, would have been like, I need to get out.
That sucks. That sounds like such a fucking like nightmare to go through, but it's such a badass story to tell now.
It was a really cool story because like I think if I go now, like I won't experience it the same because it was that is like a tourist country.
Yeah,
like it's all filled up with tourists. Like the beaches when we would go there, like were completely empty. Remember there was like I pictured myself like drinking a Corona and sitting on the swing, with the beach being
that's
cleared
right.
out.
Like
I actually got to do that.
Yeah,
you do it now, you're fucking 100 fucking people.
A bunch
in front
of people.
You.
Yeah,
but it was fun.
How was the video though?
It was all right. He fucked it up on the coloring. He knows that. But it's cool.
Okay. He does his own shit, right?
He'll edit himself. So I'm like, bro, I don't like the color. He's like, yeah, no, I like it. It gives it the artistic view. And then the video dropped 2 months later. He's like, yeah, I don't like the coloring. I'm like, I told you, bro.
She just gave it to me.
Yeah. But so, it came out cool.
So how did you and your lady, she's right here in the back, how did you guys meet? The story behind that.
The truth.
Damn, she's holding a gun at his head too.
That's I would go on live and shit, and I saw her on my she like popped up, and I was like,
you're stalking her, huh?
I was like, who's that? She had a cute little icon. And I was like,
thirsty ass.
Yeah.
I just DM'd her, and like we just started talking, and she didn't even think she was ever gonna meet me because I'm all the way in fucking Thailand.
Yeah.
And then we just started talking, and then like talking went from like we actually got on the phone, and then from we just started talking every day, and then like it just. Didn't feel right when we didn't talk, so we were just like talking the whole time.
You all in
love. It didn't feel right when they didn't talk.
I would expect it because obviously you're a director, she's an artist. I would expect it, like that's how you guys would have crossed paths.
I think she started to actually record, like you were recording a little bit beforehand, but like I think
with some other fucking director.
Yeah.
Fuck that fool, bro. Yeah.
Not another guy. He's cool.
He's cool. I love that fool.
Hey, what's up, homie? Pull up.
Shout out to homie PP.
Scorsese, pull up.
But yeah, we started you know, talking, and then we hung out, and it was cool, and like the kids liked me, and then it was like, you know, it worked out.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Package deal.
Adorable.
Yeah. Hell it was awesome. Now I got a whole little family. It's crazy.
That's wild.
It's crazy, bro, because like people be like, how do you know, like that's crazy, and I'm like, I just hit a fast track lane to a parent, you know?
Yeah,
that's really what it was. It's cool, though.
You're not the stepdad. You're the guy that stepped up.
That's crazy, though, because... damn, you... Nah, man, you got a gem, because he just... When I asked him, like, you got kids? He said, yeah, I got two. He didn't say none of that other shit. Yeah.
I would have been like, my girl got kids.
Nah, hey, so whatever...
That bitch got kids. Yeah.
Hey, but I'm single.
My girl,
I'm up.
Yeah. My girl taken.
He said, I'm up.
I'm up, bro.
Nah, tax season, those are your kids. I feel it. Those are your kids, bro.
Rub me my check, baby girl.
on a combo beat. Imagine.
Are you gonna claim him this year or me?
Yeah.
Oops. He said, "Oops."
Happened, nah. Bro. So if she gives you problems later, you let her know. Like, nah, cause I fucking said those are my kids, bro.
that's
my kids.
We're going to court.
That's right.
Facts. Okay. Here's the name.
That's dope. Also, she got somebody to direct her videos. Do you guys actually work together at all?
Yeah, no? I shoot her videos and I shoot all her content, and then when I need help, she actually comes out and helps me. Mm-hmm. Like when I'm shooting like other people or like. When it's like
you girls hear
and
stuff, that?
Like, I'll ask her because she has like I haven't talked about it. Like she has like a woman's point of view. So like when I'm shooting like females, mm-hmm. she helps me with like having them pose a certain way because I'm not the greatest.
Yeah,
it's harder when a man shoots a female when a female knows how they look good. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, oh, it looks cool. The fucking lining is dumb.
Yeah.
You know, very fucking bluntly, I'm thinking this looks dope, and she's like,
yeah, like, can you hold your stomach? She's like, is that a maternity shoot?
She looks bloated. Yeah, she's fucking
child. But she's really cool. She sees what I do, and then she learns from it, and then she's like, okay, like she teaches me on the other sides, you know, and then she learns as well. So she helps me on all.
You hear that, babe? She helps.
What the fuck do you do?
Yeah.
Nah, that's dope. You guys are a fucking team. You guys,
yeah,
you know, 100%. You guys make each other
better. Oh my god, bro.
Power couple.
That's dope.
Yeah. We do everything together though. Like for reals. Like if I'm home and she's like at work, I'm just like fucking editing, getting everything done. Like I'm getting everything done before she gets home so I can hang out with her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This was cute.
Are you a dub or something, bro?
Yeah, no. I ain't committing to shit.
I can't wait to come here to get away, bro.
Are you in love with her or something?
Yeah, shout out my baby girl. Yeah, she knows I eat that starfish.
I love you, baby.
Okay.
She knows I'd be all up in that chocolate starfish. What's up, mama?
Whoa. What's her name?
I don't even know, bro.
Shout out your girl.
Her, my girl. Sometimes I call. Her name's Ide because I'd be in those guts. I don't even know.
This man.
Because I'm about to put a bay in her.
Sometimes I just say you. Like, you over there. Like, it's not important at this point.
You guys are bad.
Yeah.
Nah, bro, it's a comedy podcast. We're just fucking around. Yeah. Offside of this shit, we're like, what's up, Pookie Bear?
You know? Like, loving my life.
You think that's funny to the fucking listeners, bro? They don't want to see us be.
He definitely has to take his hat off. He leaves it here. Just like, hey, baby.
Gotta hang it up.
She beats me at home, bro.
The good ones do, though.
The good ones do. Yeah.
So I've heard.
What? Smack you up a little bit.
We're not going to promote.
She don't give you like a little pow pow here and there.
A little bow bow.
Yeah.
She ever disguise?
He be trying to like poke my butt.
Oh, bro.
That's how you know it's love, bro. Dead
that's
ass.
How you know it's love.
That's how you know it's love. My girl be doing that. And I just took a fat cacasso, bro.
If she's behind me, my fucking ass is clenched. I'm like, nope.
Oh yeah, 100%, bro.
Hey, after some time, you start to like it, bro. So just
whoa.
Yeah. After a minute, I was like, put your toe in there.
You gotta get to the knuckle.
Playing.
Just get to the knuckle.
I'm playing around.
just get to the knuckle and you'll be fine.
Yeah.
I've heard. That's what Beto told me.
I heard.
Oh, this shit went off the rails. Dreams, we got any questions this week, brother?
Yes, we do. Actually, I memorized this one off the dome because somebody else that asked it. As you guys may know, on Tuesday and Thursday posts is where I interact with you guys, the fans, and you guys come and write into us about questions that you have. Sometimes there's a prompt, sometimes there's not. This first question I remember that they had asked was, how do you know if you have a toxic friend?
Oh shit.
You know, I feel like this is something maybe you could resonate with because the industry, the way sometimes it could be, you know, like, and I'm sure you probably have dealt with your fair share of also like fake friends in general.
Yeah. I think so. I feel like when I notice I have toxic friends are the ones, like, at least for my, because when you work with people, they become your friends because it's a different playing field. Like, you got to kind of like work with them and they become, you trust them. So they end up, you know, gradually becoming someone that's part of your group.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like part of that is like, you also see who fishes in just because they want the work and not because they just, fuck with what you're doing, because there's times where they'll say no to shit when it isn't the right price or it's not helping, and they also don't, when they're working, they don't lend a hand and like, hey, you helped me out, let me help you out too.
True.
Try to get you on shit where they, all they want to do is give me, and they don't want them to like get you in a position to help you out as well. Like, we know sometimes that isn't possible, but it's always like a really good feeling when they just reach out. If you can't do it, it's fine, but like knowing that they reached out makes a huge difference.
No, for sure.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay. I was going to say, the way you can usually tell is like fucking when, like, you know when like that one friend gets like bagged on a lot, like it's Like if they're constantly putting you down, like if they're constantly putting you down and they never bring you up, or like I don't know, that's usually what I could tell when, like, I've seen friend groups when there's that one friend that they're just, they don't pick up. Oh shit, pinche terremoto.
Don't worry, it's just my fucking sister rolling out of bed or
something. Shit.
I don't know what the fuck that was, but her bed's right here.
No, but yeah.
It's like a raccoon just fly over there.
So for whoever's asking, it's like, if you're the one who's always getting like bagged on or just getting shit on and there's no, like, I don't know. Like,
we have the friend we do that to, though.
No, we don't, though, because we actually let him know, like, oh, bro, it's all, and then he gets to fucking roast back. A lot of times, like, those friends who have toxic friends around them, they don't get to fucking roast back or whatever, because
they take turns and shit. Like, they go like, oh, we're going at him right now, and then it's the other way around.
Exactly. They try to make me,
I
him
feel like
the
you're thing. Right though, because I have friends that, like, I've had friends before where, like, they're just bagging on me. I'm like, they make me feel bad.
Yeah.
And then you're like, after you're hanging out with them, you feel fucking exhausted. You're like, bro, I was around, like, them, well, you're like, you just sucked all my energy out. Like,
what am I getting out of this shit?
Well, it's just to kind of like wrap it up, you know, I think my sisters always say, like, she's not a girl's girl.
She's not an it girl?
No, she's not a girl's girl. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. She's not a girl's girl. Like,
she don't back up girls?
Essentially, right? I don't know how to explain that, because, like, those.
You know what's crazy? If I said he's a guy's guy, you don't understand exactly what I was saying.
Yeah, like a guy's guy, like when our homie's around and he's trying to bring a girl, we're gonna amp him up. That's where the joke comes from, where it's like, oh, they should let me borrow your Lamborghini that day. That shit
Was
hype.
Yeah.
You know, and it's all jokes, but it's like, essentially, it's just to amp Hide you up. You know? Like, and I think that's what the girls is like, kind of like when a guy comes around, you just switch up. You're not a girl's girl if you do that. Like, you just switch up because you want him.
I thought you meant the girls would be like, in other girls' DMs, like, I'm coming to you as a woman.
Fuck those bitches, bro.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Stop coming to people as women.
No.
Okay. That's not what I was wondering.
That makes sense, though. Yeah.
So that's what I would say. Like, if you have a girl that's not like a girl's becoming,
become toxic. Competition. It's like weird.
It's always weird.
Do you think sometimes that maybe the friend group isn't like toxic, but maybe like you're just outgrowing the friend group?
That happens a lot.
That happens.
Yeah, where it's like. But maybe that you see, like, them not growing as toxic in a way.
Sometimes, because it holds you down, and you got to understand and see the difference from, like, you growing and then them just, like, staying back. And it's not, it's okay for that to happen. And it's not like a thing like, oh, I can't, you know, be around you. It's just like, we can be around when the time is right, you know, because, like, we grow and our priorities are different 2 years from now, or my priorities were 3 years ago, you know? And now it's like, I can't afford to do certain things that I could do when I didn't have my girl and kids. It's like, it's different. You know, it's certain people can't understand. And when they can't understand that and they turn it to where you're like, it makes you feel bad.
Yeah.
That's not a good friend. Cause like, you gotta also understand that person that wasn't in that same situation 3-4 years ago, they changed and they're doing certain things that they could afford to do mentally as well as like financially. Some people can go to fucking EDC or go to places every weekend. Some people just can't do that all the time. And when they can't, they can't make them feel bad about it. And that's just part of growing up, you know? And we realize that like it takes a certain amount of maturity to understand that, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that's really what it is.
Kind of like how, when I would tell people, like, growing up, even my homies, even these people, I would tell them, like, bro, I'm not going to go to your party, like, the following year to celebrate you doing the same shit you was doing last year. You know, like, and, like, if you're doing, like, a part-time shit and you're not chasing your dreams or doing anything else and it's just like, the same shit.
You're supporting it.
I'm just supporting
Your habits.
It's like, I'm not going to go there and celebrate that shit. Like, I want better for my friends. I want you to grow because I'm trying to grow individually myself, you know?
Let's meet you there somewhere.
We need to grow because if I'm growing over here and you're staying out here and it's like, all right, when I got time, I'm down because you're still the homie.
But
I'm not going to be here every single fucking day supporting it or every single time, you know? Like, when I can. Yeah. But then like, it turns to like exactly what you said. You don't come around no more. You know? And it's just kind of like, then it's like, now you're making me feel bad.
Yeah.
For like growing, outgrowing you, right?
Yeah.
And going back to your.
Yeah. Cause if it's not also, if they're not growing also, I think eventually you just start seeing it as like, we're doing the same activity just in different settings. Like we're just drinking. Oh, let's go rent a cabin. We're just drinking at the cabin.
Yeah.
Oh, let's go to the beach. we're just drinking at the beach, or we're just going here. Like, it all ends up becoming the same activity.
Let's do a podcast.
And yeah, and then we're just
drinking. We're just drinking at the podcast. That's so, just so stupid.
Let's have a boys' night. Just beastled. You know? Let's go to Costco.
Let's do a board night. Yeah.
That's so dumb.
Yeah, but I guess eventually to that point, it's like, I can see why people, like, they may deem it as toxic, even if those people aren't toxic, but they just aren't growing, you know, particularly.
I feel it.
I was going to say, fucking, if, I feel like if you're asking the question, like, do I, like, how do I know if I have toxic friends? Like, you probably have toxic friends, no?
Yeah.
Don't you think? I
mean, yeah, but you can also just be curious.
Facts.
Like, trying to confirm what you kind of already know.
And validate it with everybody else.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. How do you talk to them, though, and be like, you don't want to do that?
You know, I feel like a good test is, like, you fuck, like, let's say they're bagging on you, because that's the only thing that comes to mind when you say, oh, I have toxic friends. It's like somebody who's like constantly, like, your friends are constantly like joking on your ass, right?
Yeah.
So I say, if you reciprocate that fucking, that energy, or if you stand up for yourself and see what their reaction is. Like, if they fucking, they're like, what the fuck?
I'm not fucking
then
with
those
you.
Aren't, yeah, then those aren't your fucking friends. Like, I'm gonna keep it.
You're there but for entertainment. Like, like, that's fucked up.
Because when we see those people, it's like, damn, you're just like you're like a purse. You're just an accessory.
And that person changes when they get, like, told something. Like, bro, like, I just don't want to be bagged on.
Yeah.
Fuck that. Like, you know, like, I'm not hanging out with them anymore. Like, what? You just bringing him here for a fucking pet to fuck with him all day?
You can always just put them through tests, too, right? Yeah. Like, you can, let's say, like, you guys are more mature, and then, like, you guys are always going out, and you're always the one dropping the money for it, and, like, your homegirls or homies are just around because you're
they take it.
You can always just be like, all right, well, I ain't paying today, and see if they still
want
or just
they
or just say, like, I don't got money today. Like,
I don't got money. You got it. You respond me today, and it's just like, I don't know. It's like, I've never hesitated to spot for you, and you hesitated to spot for me.
It's because a lot of times people, like, struggle, like, making friends. That they'll just attach to groups that are already, like, pre-existed, or they just want to be a part of something, and then they just
deal with all the
bullshit.
Yeah, those are called fringe friends, I think. Like, there's, like, a term.
Fringe friends.
Yeah. Fringe. Like, they're on the fringe of being close to the group, but they're not.
Oh, gotcha.
It's like the special guest.
Never heard of that.
What about you, Beto? I feel like for you, this is, like, right around that age where this started.
Well, are his toxic friend, bro.
Yeah. No, it's a little bit different. Look what you did. I'm a toxic coworker. Yeah. A little bit different.
Yeah, it's not a friend.
George said, low-key, your coworkers become your friends.
Yeah.
Not him.
He's like, he's in the fucking exception.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
He's going to leave him the fuck out.
I don't think I've ever had a toxic friend. Deadass. All
right.
It's a joke, but it's not a joke. Deadass, when you guys first started talking about that, first person that came to mind was Dreams.
You're a fucking asshole.
And he's saying, like, oh, no, we're coworkers, whatever, right? But we're still in the same group. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And it's like he's part of the same group as the one I'm hanging out with. So he's still part of the friend group. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Because not everybody can be toxic in that friend group, right? Like, it could just be one.
Yeah.
But you still come around because you're still cool with everybody else.
Yeah, because Lalo can be a sweetheart and Gazelle can be a sweetheart, but Dreams can be a fucking dick and a fucking asshole.
You know
what I'm saying? But then he masks it off and as a joke and shit, and it's like, it's a joke, you know, but is it a joke? You get what I'm saying? And is he being toxic or is he joking around? And it's just,
he's actually expressing his feelings.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm playing mind games.
Yeah. So also, running the test, it's like, also, you can just talk to, like, the person you think is, like, toxic. You can just have a conversation with
if you
them.
Want. We could square up after this.
Until it becomes a joke. It's like, hey, bro, what's up? Like, I'm being serious with you. Like, hey, you really have a problem with me? Yeah, fuck you, dog. Fuck you. Like, you can't have that conversation with that person.
You don't know where I'm from.
I feel like, because we're all people person, and I'm assuming you are too, the way that you just
talk. I feel
you're the director.
I'll tell you the truth. Like, my girl be telling me too. She's like, you're hard to be friends with because you're so brutally honest at times. Mm-hmm. But when people get to know you, they understand that is the asset. So, like, I have friends that, like, are, like, artists, and I think that's where it came from, was, like, they would have a lot of yes men around them and they would fuck up. Mm-hmm. And I was always that person to be like, bro, what the fuck are y'all doing? Y'all making them do bad choices. Like, I always thought, like, always speak your mind when something just doesn't fucking match up to you or you don't believe in it. Like, I've always had, like, those situations or those arguments because I've always been open about it. It's not malicious either. It's very just, like, this is how I fucking believe.
Genuine.
Yeah, genuineness. Yeah. And like, if I see certain things that just don't add up, or you're doing something that doesn't seem like, there's no, like, it just doesn't feel right. And I just feel like fucking shit that I'm around you doing that shit. Like, I'm going to call you out. And I think, not even that, just being completely honest with friends. Like, I've always thought, like, it's better to be honest than leading someone on to think that they're doing the right thing. And then, like, I kind of knew that you weren't great at making music, or I knew that song wasn't that great. I'll tell you straight up, just because, like, people sometimes appreciate the honesty compared to everybody being like, oh, that's fucking dope. Oh, everybody's going to tell you that's dope just so they don't hurt your feelings.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But being honest is always, like,
yeah.
Better.
I can see how, like, that quality can be, like, detrimental to, like, your person, but I'd argue that those people are the best people in your corner, because that's this motherfucker right here.
Yeah.
This motherfucker, like, everybody would be, like, telling you, like, oh, yeah, and this motherfucker would be like, honestly, bro, you're being stupid or whatever. Yeah. And you'll be like, oh, shit. Like, when, that's why your opinion matters more, you know? Like, obviously, it's still cool to have, like, other people around you to balance that. You can't have everybody just fucking being brutally honest. I feel like it's a good trait to have, if anything.
Yeah. I feel you.
Oh, yeah.
Shout out Lalo for fucking telling us nuestras verdades and shit.
It is what it is.
¿Sí o no?
Yeah, well, you know, somebody has to.
All right, brother. I think that's a good spot to fucking end the pod. Honestly, it's been a pleasure talking to you. You're inspiring in everything that you're doing. Yeah. And it's just cool, bro. It's cool to see fucking you working with, like, huge names, obviously making a bigger name for yourself. And I'm excited to see. I'm excited to see that documentary you mentioned. Yeah. That's going
to
be fucking
sick. I think I need to crank it out, I think, this year. At least shoot the parts that I need to shoot.
Bro.
Because editing's going to take a little longer, you know. And I want to end up, like, eventually putting that out in film festivals and shit like that. Bro, you know?
That's
and
then, sick.
You know, I want to definitely get, like, the Latin, you know, not Latin, sorry, Latinx, or what is it?
That's cool, bro.
Hispanic. The Hispanic podcast.
Whoa. Hispanix, bro.
Is that really a thing?
Oh, no.
The Hispanic, you know, the Hispanic culture behind it.
He's got a real career.
The V-Nex.
But I want to get, like, people, like, all the podcasts that I fuck with, like, a part of it. So when it's done, like, I'm going to send it to you guys to watch it.
All you have to do is pull it to Ridley, bro. Just make sure you mention Ridley to Ridley. And
you know,
good enough.
You know what's crazy is I have my best friend. He actually owns, like, the biggest printing shop in LA, lives in Orosi. He's from Orosi. Okay. And me and him started together in the beginning. Like, bro drives a G-Wagon, fucking has a Corvette now.
Damn.
All that. He's from Orosi, which is like 10 minutes from Ridley.
Oh, okay.
And we fucking, like, hustled together, and he would sleep out of his warehouse. For, like, how I slept out of my car. Like, he did the same type of grind in a different environment. He would sleep out of his warehouse, work all night, and then wake up in the morning and do the same shit. But I don't know where I'm going with this.
But you're good. No.
But it's crazy.
Shout out,
like,
Ridley, dude.
No, it's crazy because small towns like that, it produces people that make an impact in the world.
Yeah.
And he's making it. And it's crazy because at some point, I think Kanye wanted to buy his warehouse from him.
Oh, shit.
But keep him. Like, he's like, we want to keep you. But then he was just like, I don't know about that, because there's certain things you got to deal with. Yeah. But it's crazy because, like, these small towns, like Aiden Ross, I think he's another, like...
Oh, yeah, he is from over
there. He's from over there. Yeah. He's, like, 10 minutes from my hometown.
Yeah.
So the production of quality people, it's everywhere. Yeah. It's not just in L.A. You got to come to L.A. to be big. Yeah. It's... You have to jump for your dream. Like, you got to chase it, and that's just the way it is. And there's no way to do it. There's no guide to be a filmmaker. There's no guide to be a Twitch streamer. There's no guide to be a printer to print for a bunch of these crazy brands. It's just about, can you fucking believe in yourself enough to make these choices? Can you believe yourself enough to sleep out of a car like I did?
Yeah.
Can you believe enough to sleep in a warehouse like he did? And people have different struggles, and nobody knows that. Like, nobody sees it all the time. Like, he doesn't talk about it.
Yeah.
But we talk about it all the time. Like, remember when we were sleeping in my warehouse? Like, bro, I remember. I'll go in there anytime and you're there.
Yeah.
And it was like a warehouse he didn't own. He was just, like, borrowing it when it was, like, empty. So it's like these little small towns, like, produce great people, and it needs to be shown, you know?
Yeah.
And you're one of them, bro. You're a clear example.
Yeah.
So it's like, even like, this is why it's awesome to have you on the show, because you never know who could be listening in, and it's like, I want to be a fucking director, and they live in the middle of butt fuck nowhere.
Yeah.
You know? And
it's called
Lindsay, bro. What the fuck
you no, no, but, saying, they, but like, it's inspiring, bro.
It opens that gate, and it opens that, like, oh, there's a door for it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This dude's from where I'm from. It at least pushes that person to at least pursue it for a bit to see if it is for them. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, my fucking walk wasn't the same as anybody else's, but right. I've always had faith. Like, I told my girl, I was like, girl, like, there's times where, like, I didn't have money, and I'm like, in my head, I'm like, I know God has my back. I know I'm doing this, and I know I'm going to be in a stuck position, but something is going to help me out throughout the month to get me where I need to be at.
Yeah.
And there's like random calls for work, and it just somehow happened, you know?
Yeah.
And that's part of life, is like, I always told, like, you know, we're believers and we have big faith, and like, God, if there's something going on in your life, pray and figure it out. And not just pray, because praying does something, but like, go work. Like, people be like, yeah, believing that, like,
being in the right place,
being in the right place and doing your work. Cause God, they said, like, God said, like, he didn't just tell you to pray. He told you to pray and go do your work.
Yeah.
We're built to work and to contribute to this world.
Yeah.
You know? And that's the crazy part about it. Like, we have to have faith in what we do, because there was a point in my life where, like, I didn't believe in God for a while. Like, in high school, like, I was quote unquote atheist and shit like that. And then I got a little older and I went to like a church retreat, and I think I went through some shit and I didn't even realize it. And it was a crazy story, because I saw it online. It was talking about how like an old man passed away, and he went to the gates of heaven, and God was there, and he said, I was always with you. And then there was two trails of footsteps walking throughout the whole time
in the sand, right?
And in the sand or something, yeah, like that. And then the old man pointed out, what about this area where I was depressed and it was only my footsteps? He's like, where were you at that point? Why'd you walk away from me? And God responded saying, like, those were my footsteps. I was carrying you when you couldn't carry yourself.
Damn.
And like, I didn't realize that till later down the road, that like, bro, God had me.
Yeah,
he got your back. He had your back, man.
Yeah. God had me, and I didn't even realize that at some point, because I wasn't believing.
Yeah,
and I realized, like, dude, like, you know, he kept me away from danger and moved me where I needed to be at and where I'm at now. It's just that crazy. Like, you know, it works, and it's weird how the universe works.
Yeah,
but just how you manifest things, you gotta also work for it. It takes two. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
You have to do your part.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I feel it.
Yeah.
Shit. With that being said, bro, that was a beautiful message there.
Yeah, that's fucking awesome.
But you know, is there anything you'd like to promote? Your IG handle, anything you'd like
your
to
business, tell the everything, people? Bro. Yeah. Everything. Go ahead, promote it.
Yeah, $3 for $1 aquí nomás.
That's right. Landscaping business. Shout out to me, follow outside.
Nah, I mean, you follow my Instagram, George_Roscoe, yes, and then On Point Films. I think that's pretty much it.
On Point Films.
Keep doing your thing, easy, brother. Man. I'm gonna pass it on over to Beto with his shout outs. Go ahead, brother.
Well, first of all, I want to shout out my girl. Shout out my girl for always supporting me.
Are you in love or something?
That's right.
Also, shout out the homie George, bro. Like, it was such a pleasure, bro. Like, you have such a strong message. You're like super motivational and shit. So thank you for coming on. Thank you for sharing your story and your message. And then shout out to everybody who fucking supports and tunes in every week. And with that, I'll pass it on to Dreams.
Yeah, I want to shout out my girl.
That's right.
Are you in love or something?
God, bro, you're Pookie Wookie Bear.
Damn.
And I want to shout out you. Right after that.
Yeah. That's right.
Thank you for coming on. Thank you for repping Brasa and shit, and showing everybody that, you know, it doesn't matter where exactly you come from. It's about what you do with it. I think that's really important, and you're sending out a very important message in without even saying anything.
Yeah,
you're repping an important message, and I respect that. A shout out to Costco.
Amazing.
The lady boys out in Thailand, we salute.
Shout out Ridley.
Yeah, really.
Wide receiver too. Yeah,
yeah. Shout out Henry Ruggs too.
Mm-hmm. Whoa,
from Calvin Ridley. Shout out,
hurry up, bugger.
Shout out the National Weather Service.
Wait to save that, because you were gonna say something else.
Yeah. Shout out. Yeah, I think that's it.
Right, shout out to my girlfriend.
That's right.
Are you two kids?
And two kids.
Dude, she be singing happy birthday to you with fucking nice notes and shit.
Elias and me, I love you.
That's right. On mine, I want to shout out the baby girl, the only one that lets me eat her fucking starfish at night.
That's right.
Spitting that hoe.
And shout out to all the motherfucking fans who be tuning in week out, dropping comments, saying you guys were the best podcast in the world. I know. Shout out. I know we are.
All three of you.
But shout out to homie George for pulling up, bro. Honestly, like you said, like Beto mentioned, your fucking message is inspirational. Also, just seeing where you come from is, it's like, and doing the things that you're doing, and the things you're gonna do, bro. It's just gonna, it's just, I'm excited to see that. And yeah, that's it on my end. Shout out to y'all, man. Shout out to, oh, Holla Babies. You guys know it's in the description. Yeah. All the links to the homie will be also in the description below. With that being said, I'm going ahead, pass it to the homie Lalo.
Shout out to you for pulling up again, bro. You're doing a lot of great things. Shout out to your lady as well. She pulled up. She's in the back. Right. Over there. You know, if you guys said shout out to her, that's fucked up. But she's in the building as well. So thank you to you. Shout out to you again. You're doing a lot of great things in the space. I know one of your things that you want to see more of, and what you're doing is seeing more raza in the space that you're
doing.
You know, and like you're kind of at the, you're kind of leading that. I'm sure you understand that too.
I appreciate it.
But like you're kind of leading that, and it's like it's good to fucking see, and it's cool to have you in the studio. It's just like, because later on when you're doing like the huge things, I'll be like,
he was in my, I'm still gonna pull up.
He was in my dad's garage. You know,
I'm back. So the fucking landscaper wouldn't shut the fuck up.
We're gonna run it back though.
Yeah, yeah.
For sure. Down the road, one.
I'm gonna get your name tatted, bro.
I'm gonna do it. Let's do one. Blast. Let's do one in Lindsay.
Next to the Wu-Tang.
Yeah, next to the Wu-Tang, bro.
Like, I got a sleeve now.
Do you have enough space for it?
I don't know, man. I keep running out, but I'll get rid of the portrait of my mom.
Yeah, yeah. When the documentary comes out, we might have your pops and you right here.
That's right.
That'd be dope. That'd be dope. Yeah,
but yeah, shout out to everybody who fucking listens every week. Go fucking follow him. Go support him. It's fucking, you know, we appreciate everybody who does that. Shout out to all the boys that listen.
Lindsay. Shout out
to all the team. Lindsay, yeah.
It's a town, not a girl.
Okay, right. Shout out all the team. Shout out my family. Shout out the boys. Shout out
the National
my girl. Shout out my girl, the love of my life.
Oh, fuck.
And with that, we out.
Peace. See ya. Peace.